hard for me to say that you haven't already heard a million times already this week. Well, the PC Doom 64 remaster is going to have new content, and that's pretty badass. Stay tuned for the weekend news. Some you've heard, hopefully some you haven't, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, everybody out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of Orange Lounge Radio. Starting off the show a little different tonight. For those that are watching on Twitch, it doesn't look the way it usually does. For those that are listening on the podcast feed, it doesn't sound the way it usually does. That's because this part of the show, I'm actually taping a little bit earlier in the day. So this is a prior tape segment. I don't want you guys to think I'm duping you. We will be live in a little bit. I'll be live in studio with Loki in just a minute. But this portion was taped earlier in the day. So as you guys know, the reason why we've been gone for 3 weeks is that I've been on a cruise. And everything was fine. Everything was normal. I know people are talking a lot about cruises in the news right now, but honestly, I would have never known people were suddenly paying attention. Like, it was a totally normal cruise. I'll talk a little more about that later in the show, because I think in many ways, when we did our last show, the world was in one place. And now today, the world is in another. And it's somewhat oddly appropriate in a way that the game playing behind me right now, if you're watching on Twitch, is Death Stranding. I'm not playing the game myself. I want to credit over on YouTube. This is from a channel, Long Play Archive, and of course the fine folks at Kojima Productions who made Death Stranding. We'll come back to this game in a little bit. But I want to get to the main topic here for the top of the show tonight. So I will be joined in studio with Loki live in just a minute, but here on Discord with me at about noon today on Sunday is Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers. Hello.
Hello.
I would ask, how are you doing?
Well, I am unwell. I'm not, like, terrible, but I'll just go ahead and go into it. Not this past Friday, but the Friday before, I started being short of breath, which the funny thing is that I haven't had asthma symptoms except when we had the fire since I lost, 110 pounds. And so I was like, oh, it's just allergies, went about my business, and then it started getting a little bit worse. But I had, drainage. So I messaged my doctor. She's like, yeah, it sounds like your allergies have aggravated asthma. We have a high pollen count, a lot of wind. So she put me back on one of my old asthma medications. And it did okay, but it was still getting worse. And Saturday, walking upstairs at my work, because I work in the upstairs part of my office, I got winded, which I never get winded walking upstairs. I mean, you've seen me climb flights at a run. So this was really weird for me. So I ended up calling the advice nurse at Kaiser, and I was getting winded talking. And they're like, no, we want you to go home. We're going to have a doctor call you. And so I talked to the doctor. And the doctor's like, well, it could be asthma. It could be the other thing, as I'm calling it, the C virus. Itchy, tasty. So they had me in at the doctor that day. And so funny, like, the doctor actually calls me while I'm in the office to double check my symptoms. She's like, okay, well, I got a suit up. And I'm like, oh, God, they're coming in a hazmat suit. But she was just wearing, like, a different kind of lab coat and a mask. And she's like, the symptoms are light, but it's enough that we want you under quarantine. And because, tests are really limited, they're saving them for the more advanced cases. So they didn't test me. She just put me right under quarantine. So it's not confirmed or not, but they're treating it like I have COVID-19. And my symptoms are in line with it. So I'm under quarantine for the week. And if my symptoms don't go away by Thursday or Friday, then I have to call in and get an extension of my quarantine. Because you have to be free of symptoms for 48 hours before they'll let you rejoin society.
So, and I'm sorry if you guys are hearing typing noises again. This is an unusual setup at the beginning of the show. Salacious or Alan online on Twitter, Salacious Pop is on the other side of the screen playing Mass Effect right now. So if you hear keyboard clacking, it's what he's doing. So little unusual here at the start of the show, but yeah, I think one important point. And this is, you know, with everything that's going on in the world. And look, I know like some people want to hear tonight's show as like an escape, maybe, of everything that's going on in the real world. But I think the reality is like you can't escape this talk right now. It is everywhere, and obviously it's affecting us, right? Like, you know, I wasn't expecting this. You weren't expecting this. And here we are. You have no idea where you might have caught this, or you weren't around anybody. I mean, assume, you know, we're assuming you if you had it.
I have an idea.
Oh.
One of my coworkers, about a week ago, is like he had been out on leave for a busted knee, and he's like, "I did some traveling. You know what? I think I had the thing. I had all these symptoms, and I didn't get tested. I just got over it." And I'm like, "Oh God."
And I think that is like so important in light of everything that's going on is that, you know, it may seem like it's not that big a deal because it doesn't seem like they're reporting that many people that have it. But I think one thing, and, you know, I'm gonna try very hard to not make this into a political angle or everything like that, but I mean, this is the reality. Like, our government is failing us when it comes to being able to provide the needed tests because, and the reason why I say that is because you know, Dark Sakura has not been tested for it, but they're just assuming she may have it. I know somebody else in the exact same position having to
Yeah.
quarantine right now, and then
I
somebody
know
else
who.
on Facebook. And so the my point is that the numbers that are being reported are not accurate because they're not testing people. You know,
And they don't have
can't
enough
report the
tests.
number if you can't test them, right?
And
So,
they don't have enough is
right,
part of the problem.
way more people have this than is being
And the
reported.
pandemic response team was canned in 2018. We would have been ready for this.
Now, I'm not saying this to make people panic or to make people freak out. That is not the point of this, but I think it's important to say you have to take it seriously, you know? And so, you know, and it's such a fine line you have to walk because I completely understand the angle of we don't want to shut down small businesses. We don't want to stop, you know, supporting these things. People are going to be out of a job in the artistic industry and stuff, and it is a very delicate line to walk. So I'm not saying like, oh my God, freak out about all that stuff. But I am saying everybody's got to take precautions. That's what it is.
And
You got
I
to
would
wash your
say,
damn hands, for starters.
I would say this for a lot of the conventions that have been canceled, they're having virtual artist alleys. So please check those out. If you have coin to spare, please look to your independent artists and send them, buy a commission, do something to keep them up and going. I wouldn't say necessarily do it through Etsy because Etsy's taking a cut. But just reach out to them independently, do commissions, support them any way that you can, and also stop being a racist fuckhole and get some damn Chinese food because it's delicious.
I would hope none of our listeners fall in that category, but just in case.
Well, I'm ordering
I know.
myself some damn wonton soup and telling them to leave it on my doorstep.
And lots of local restaurants can do delivery, so it's, you know, a thing that, you
Although I had to order my groceries.
know.
Because we were, and Dan, his job takes him to Reno a couple of times a month. And with the, we had like this weird, like sudden rain, and it affected the roads leading into like Shasta and Truckee and Tahoe. And since Dan's on the other side of that, and his work won't let him put chains on his car, he's now on his third day stuck in Reno. Which indirectly that works out for him because we were gonna have to work on sleeping arrangements, and so hopefully by the time he gets back, I'll be past the point of contagion.
I don't know what to say. Like, I just obviously I'm sure a lot of the listeners in chat right now are saying very kind things and, you know, get well soon and all of that stuff.
They
And you
better.
certainly you I mean, you sound okay. I mean, and for the most part, younger folks that get this are going to be okay. But at the same time, again, I'm not trying to freak people out, but that doesn't mean every young person that gets this is going to be okay, because people have immunocompromised situations and things like that. So again, it's about taking precautions. You know, you have to at least take precautions.
I'm going to run through real quick what my symptoms were.
Yeah.
And so this is what to watch out for. The shortness of breath is the big one. If you find that you're winded talking, doing regular activity, stop what you're doing, go home, call whatever advice nurse. If you go to urgent care, wear a mask.
If you're sick, not if you're well. That's a very
important
distinction.
Right, if you are sick, because the mask doesn't protect you from other people. Like, I was wearing a mask for my allergies because the pollen. Mm-hmm. But that mask prevents your germs from spreading so quickly. It won't catch everything unless it's an N95. And those are sold out everywhere. I ordered a cloth allergy mask that has a removable filter so I can wash my mask. And that is enough to keep your germs from spreading enough to go to your doctor. But do not leave the house without it if you at all feel that you have symptoms. And the hard thing, I love to talk. And so I'm sounding really stilted because I have to take breaths. The other thing, a little bit of a sore throat, definitely a fever. Now, me personally, since I lost weight, my body temperature naturally went down 1 degree. I hang around a 97.6 to 0.8. excuse me. So I was running 99, which for me is a fever. So make sure you know your own basal temperature. Sore throats are sometimes with it. Headaches, body aches. But the biggest one is going to be being short of breath, feeling like it's asthma. My oxygen levels are great, but my carbon dioxide levels were really low. And because of that, I'm having dizzy spells along with it. So just, you know, bear those things in mind.
And if you're feeling sick, if you suspect, like, not to freak people out, because there's normal colds, normal flus. Like, even when I got back from the cruise, I had a little bit of, like, con crud, but it was very, very light. But if you're feeling those types of, like, symptoms, like, just for the sake of, you know, not spreading it, just, you know, stay home. You know, there's ways you can still patronize and support businesses and things like that from home.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that when someone has COVID-19, they're susceptible to other respiratory issues for months afterwards. Mm-hmm. Me being that I have chronic fatigue syndrome and have had pneumonia a couple of times in my past, I'm extra susceptible to reinfection. So those are things to keep in mind. And the other thing is that if you remotely suspect you have it, stay away from the elderly people in your life. Dan's grandmother is 90 years old. You better believe I'm not going anywhere near her.
So we've been talking for almost 15 minutes, and I do want to get to, no. I mean, this is important stuff. This is the world we live in right now. And on that note, so I purposely have this game running behind me right now, Death Stranding, because you made a very interesting post on Facebook about this game, right? And this is before
how I felt.
This is before you had your conversation with your doctor, if I remember right. Tell us a little bit about, to kind of bring it back to video games and everything that's going on in the world. Tell us a little bit about your post and maybe some of the insight with this particular game, Death Stranding.
Well, I had an observation that with all of the quarantine and social distancing that's going on, that I felt a little bit like we might be living kind of in a Death Stranding like situation. So in the game, there's all these temporal anomalies that keep people from being able to go outside. If they're caught in it, then their body becomes explosive and creates a crater, and people are staying inside their bunkers to stay safe. But they're also cut off from each other. There's, you know, maybe a couple of people in a bunker or small groups, or even just one or two people, and they're separated from the rest of the world. And so when you're playing as, oh God, what's his name again?
Sam Bridges Porter. Yeah.
When you're playing as Sam, your goal is to go and convince people to join this chiral network, which is basically fancy time manipulative internet with holograms. And so it makes me think that we have our own sort of chiral network because we have the internet today. You know, my mom and I were talking, she had the Hong Kong flu, what they were calling it, H3N2, mm-hmm. In the 60s. Mm-hmm. And she, my grandmother, my grandfather, my uncle had it really bad, but they didn't have the internet. They were in quarantine. And they were very isolated, very sick and very isolated. And doctors were doing home calls for that. And, you know, they got over it and clearly rejoined society, hence my existence. But the reality is that they, not only with being sick, but you have that emotional sickness as well. And a lot of us introverts, you know, we joke about, oh, we've been preparing all our lives for this. And us Gen X, you know, latchkey kids, we're like, yeah, we've been ready for this. We know what to do. But there are still, no matter how much you might prefer isolation, you know, being by yourself, you still have, I think, a need to reach out to other people. You know, we go on the internet, we communicate, and it cuts into that isolated, lonely feeling, you know. And because we have, you know, ordering my groceries on the internet, you know, that's what I did. I went on to Safeway and I ordered my groceries and I got a $20 coupon and it was great. But, you know, being able to order food online, play my games online, chat, what we're doing right now, me talking with you live mm-hmm. over the internet.
Well, semi-live, but yes.
But I mean, you know, I remember just, you know, 20 years ago, I mean, I joke about it all the time that I was Dan's mail order bride on AOL back in the day. But it's true. Even when we had dial up, we didn't have this level of connectedness of communication. And so it's really a remarkable thing, you know, you know. I believe it was attributed to Arthur C. Clarke that any technology suitably advanced enough can be indistinguishable from magic. And isn't it kind of magical that we can do this, you know?
Absolutely. You know, and I think even a game like this, as dark and dystopian as it is, it does, you know, at the end of the day, there's hope, right? There's hope amongst exactly. these people trying to build the network and so forth. And, you know, society will get through this whole ordeal, but it's going to be weird. Like, I have to be honest, like, from my perspective, this whole thing just, like, it feels like a movie. Like, and it's, again, from my perspective, like, I got on that ship, you know, without knowing all the, you know, craziness of what cruise ships are supposed to be doing in this whole thing. And then I feel like I stepped onto it. I had a great week. I had a wonderful time. And then I stepped off of it and I came back to a completely different world than what I left. And that's yeah, like the really that's the weird that. Mind game that I'm going through right now.
And the other, you know, one of the other things is that I have noticed a massive uptick in gamers helping each other out, mm-hmm. of having more co-op type of play. Of more streaming, but not just necessarily gaming streaming, but people putting out content to communicate with others, to provide that level of communication, you know, things like that. And I think that there could be a lot of beauty that comes out of this. There are, you know, again, with any type of increased connectiveness via the internet, you're going to see more of the dark side of things, you know. A lot more, well, and not to go into Drag Race talk, but this crap going on with Sherry Pie, because we have the internet, the stories of what she did to her victims were easily exposed. They were able to come out, and we're seeing a lot more of that. We're able to watch the deterioration of 45 live on TV, you know, because I'm pretty sure that asshole has it with all the people he touched, you know. But we're able to watch. It could be the apocalypse, or it could be a massive revival. We could, because the other thing is that we're watching the underbelly of society, the nastiness that people have been complaining about. We're seeing the worst case scenario. We're seeing it happen live on TV. We are watching the fall of Rome live. Or, again, we could be watching the reform live. We could be watching our society go through a metamorphosis, just like in the game. You know, when they connected all of those people, they were able to change their world, you know, from this lonely, separated thing into a new connected
spoiler world. Alert, but at the same time, not really. I think
how it happens.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot. This is a very general, very broad, and it's, you know, if you assume that a game like this has a Hollywood ending, you could probably already figure, you know, that sort of thing.
I really glossed it. I mean, that's what everyone should assume happened anyway.
All right. So I was just gonna say, we gotta remain hopeful in this whole thing. You know, I'm choosing to be hopeful, and everything, hopefully in a couple weeks. I believe in science, and I think we will find a way to, you know, cure or prevent or cut way back on this from a scientific perspective. But in the meantime, you gotta wash your damn hands and just be
our
very careful.
Is to flatten the curve.
Yeah.
So I do have a couple of warnings to throw out there. For everyone looking at DIY hand sanitizer, I'm going to teach you a little bit about chemistry right the fuck now. When you get vodka or any other kind of alcohol solution, it is a solution. When adding it, you might think that you're doing, you know, 60 to 40, like with aloe vera or something. But if you're doing a diluted alcohol already, you are further diluting it. You will not be at 60% strength. So either use denatured alcohol or do some fucking math.
Just gotta saying. Do some math.
It needs to be at least 60% alcohol. But soap will do best, because soap has a combination of both a fat attraction and a fat repulsion. So what it will do is it will attract the fat that's in the viral strains. And that's why it takes 20 seconds to attract the fat and then bind it and then rinse it off. So you need to make sure you're singing "I Will Survive."
All right. And we will.
As the queen herself demonstrated, Gloria Gaynor has a video of her doing it.
We will survive. Jamie, we're going to bring you back a little later in the show to do the classic segment here. But for now, I think we'll wrap up, and we're going to, any last things you want to say here before we take it to the actual live with myself and Loki?
I'm taking deliveries of pies, so leave them on my doorstep, please.
All right. Well, that means you have to give out your address. I don't know if you want to do that.
I'll give it to people local. I'm taking appeasements in the form of delicious goodies.
All right. You should look into one of those things where, like, because I know they have a thing where, like, streamers can get, like, Grubhub and stuff like that. You should look into that, because that way there's, like, a middle person, so that way you're not directly giving out your address. It's something I've seen other people do. But anyway.
I'm just mad that Postmates doesn't deliver from Sherry's.
Aw. All right. So that's it. Again, I want to thank Long Play Archive for this YouTube I'm borrowing of Death Stranding. And I think that's it. We're going to go back live to the studio with myself and Loki live.
Okay. Hi. It's been a few weeks, hasn't it? Dark Sakura is in our chat right now and talking to folks there. And, you know, thank you guys for showing a little love there. And again, you know, we don't it's this interesting kind of thing in the world where we don't know that Dark Sakura has the COVID, but we don't not know. And so it's just because we can't test all the people. So, you know, folks are taking the appropriate precautions. So, you know, again, if you are sick or you're, you know, feeling symptomatic or what have you, please stay home. It's interesting because we're seeing these parallels. You've probably seen these news articles about the World of Warcraft corrupted blood incident. You remember that whole thing, right, from original Techmaster Loki, of course, here in studio with me?
No, because I don't play World of Warcraft.
Okay, but this was everywhere in the news, right? So basically what happened is that there was a raid boss in the game that put this negative buff that was like a poison type buff on people, and there was a bug that basically, like, if you poured it out of there at just the right time or something, you could take it into the real world and actually, like, purposefully infect other people. So it caused this whole plague to spread around. But there's that whole point I put that there are unfortunately people that would go so far as to purposely give it to other people, and some of you guys in our chat right now, because again, we're back live. We do tape live, of course, over at twitch.tv/VOG Network every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And some folks are talking about that. Yeah, is that in chat saying that was so annoying? People deliberately infecting each other. Yeah, I mean, it's horrific, but unfortunately there are some people like that. So we have to do not just our due diligence in us staying home when we're sick, but keeping, you know, a moderate distance from other people, especially people we may not know. Now, you know, here we are in studio. Loki and I are here. We might not be totally the 6 feet apart. We're probably a good 4 feet apart. And I also trust that if Loki was sick or was showing any symptoms, he wouldn't be here right now. So are you feeling okay?
I mean, I probably shouldn't have eaten all those breadsticks, but aside from that, yeah.
That's a different problem. But, you know, a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world, you know, big gatherings being shut down. Yes, we'll talk about the big one related to video games here shortly. But
more like a convenient sense of timing.
Well, we'll get into that. But
it's like, yes, scapegoat. Woohoo!
There's all these interesting, and you know, things are developing by the minute. So for those that are listening on the podcast feed, what we're saying now might not be the case by the time you're listening on the podcast. Just between the time that Dark Soccer and I taped that 6 hours ago and now, we have now that California is going to be shutting down all the bars and all that type of stuff, the big gathering places, and that the CDC has actually come out and recommended no gatherings, 50 people or more for 8 weeks. So all your gaming tournaments, your Smash tournaments, your, you know, Magic Gathering tournaments, if that's what you're into, whatever it is in gaming, it's not banned, but it's not recommended. So, you know, you probably shouldn't do it for 8 weeks. And, you know, unfortunately, that's going to lead to a lot of economic repercussions. There's a lot of people that I know that are like servers, bartenders, and so forth. And right now the government has not really provided an answer as to where am I going to get my damn money? You know? So I guess a lot of that is changing by the day. I don't know. I don't know if I have the answer to that. So, what I do know is that many of us are using video games to, escape a lot of that, taking this opportunity to catch up on gaming backlogs. I know for me, I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy XIV online with friends this week, which is a great virtual hanging out, if you will. And we just had news come in, late-breaking news. Xbox Live is going down, or has been down, up and down a little
since
bit.
Since 2 o'clock, because my kids came over like, I can't play Minecraft with Josh! And I'm like, it's because Xbox Live's down.
Yeah. So, you know, because all these things, because everybody's quarantining, are getting really hit. We had another story about how Steam had more users ever than ever before. It was something like 20 million people on Steam yesterday. Can't imagine why. So there's that going on. This is going to be, you know, and again, I'm not saying this to cause panic or what have you, but this is going to change society for a little bit. You know, until we get some of these economic questions figured out and some of these things, everything is figure outable, right? We'll get, as long as we act normal. I mean, people buying all the toilet paper for no particular reason doesn't always strike me as,
hey,
normal.
What else am I supposed to build a fort out of? Okay.
If at the end of the day, rationality prevails, we're all going to be just fine. And I choose to remain optimistic in that regard because I can allow myself to get pessimistic because that just, like, then I'm going to spiral myself down. So I try to remain optimistic about all this type of thing, and we'll figure it out. But it is going to cause, you know, some disruptions. And when we talk about gaming, I would not be surprised whatsoever if PlayStation 5 and Xbox One X don't happen this year. I think y'all better prepare for that reality, and y'all better be prepared to act rationally to that reality. that those systems ain't going to happen this year. Because, you know, with all the quarantining and so forth, certainly the economic, Sony and Microsoft don't want to release a new console when people don't have the money to buy them. You know, people that are losing out on income and things like that, even if the government decides to step in and subside it, which thank you. Many folks in chat are bringing up the whole like EDD and unemployment and so forth. But again, that's state by state. So hopefully something will be addressed at a nationwide level. You know, maybe in California, you can recover some lost wages. That's not the case in every state right now. So hopefully we'll have something in the coming days. This is a very fluid situation and so forth. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised those consoles don't end up happening. So what you might see in the interim this holiday is you might see a lot of quick projects. You might see a lot of remasters and redos and, you know, game. Hey, if ever there was a time for Mother 3, your odds are going to be the best this year, but I don't know. It's been a crazy couple weeks, hasn't it?
How's the time to dust off that source code for the F-Zero project that you were working on Nintendo and make it happen, right?
Well, now's the time for you to dust off the source code on those games you've been programming, right?
I have been working on that stuff.
Good.
People need me to do things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh. And Bobby Blackwolf does point out, luckily, those Xbox Series X games are playable on Xbox One, so they could still release them this holiday. That is very true. So things like Halo and stuff might still release this holiday. Who knows? Halo Infinite. Thank you. I can never remember the subtitles anymore. I'm sure everybody's talking about Nintendo release Animal Crossing already, but at least, you know, we'll have that on Friday, Doom on Friday. There's going to be some Phantasy Star Online 2 goes into open beta, and I think all that starts rolling very soon. So at least there will be some things to, you know, distract us during all this craziness that's happening right now. Dark Sakura is in our chat talking about artists and people who live on tips are really going to suffer. They don't have unemployment for drag. That's right. A lot of like independent contractors and stuff. So I don't know. I in my opinion, there should be some type of tax refund from last year's taxes, some big refund. But I again, I'm not a politician. I'm not in – maybe people see problems with what I'm proposing. But it's – you know, I don't know if there's an easy answer. And hopefully people can fucking work together already to figure it out. SG100 Matt is talking about what's going on in his work that, you know, because of the nature of his business and the types of things that are getting canceled, there is no business right now. And saying, I have coworkers that would rather get the virus and potentially die than not work and not get paid, which is sad. That is incredibly sad. But those types of depression and mental health things are going to be very real. So, you know, check in on people, call people, say hello. FaceTime is great right now. And the comparable stuff. If you're not an Apple person, there's all sorts of comparable stuff, Skype and Discord, et cetera. And a lot of tech companies, thankfully, are, you know, wheeling out some of the, you know, free deals and so forth to try to lessen the brunt of this. Like Discord has upped the number of people you can broadcast to from 10 to 50, which might not be a big deal to a lot of people, but to some people it's going to be pretty cool. You've heard about probably the bandwidth caps are getting lifted, which probably goes to show they were never needed, but I guess that's another argument for a different day. But we know that those caps are not going to be there. So now's the time to get all your patches.
I'm going to download all of the porn.
You know what's crazy to me, too, is I was even thinking this month, because we were on the cruise last week, I was thinking, we're only going to be using like 3/4 of the data we usually use. So this is a good time for me to like download.
Oh, that's probably when your Xbox One decided to download the same patch 50 times while you're out.
It's not going
to
matter anymore anyway. That thing is hard unplugged. It's not going to download anything.
Well, that's not going to stuff.
Well, now I can plug it in safely. It won't matter. But anyway. Anyway, Dark Tutsuya says there is another big release coming this week. My wife already has our copy on pre-order. Missy OLR in chat says, Loki, better you than me on all the porn, snark. I'm sure you guys have heard about the clever things that Pornhub has been doing, especially for folks in Italy where
– VPN.
Yeah. Anyway. Again, I don't mean to talk about, you know, I know some of you are tuning into OLR tonight because you want an escape from all the stuff that's going on in the real world. So I'm sorry to kind of like bring it up. But at the same time, like you can't escape it. And I think being informed is important. And there are certain precautions you should take. But at the same time, you know, do your best to still try to support and stimulate the economy best you can. And that is not by buying all the toilet paper. But since the restaurants and bars are going to be closed, maybe choose to have a dinner night where you're going to order out from one of these places because, you know, you got all these delivery types of services and things like that. If the convention you went to is getting canceled and you're no longer going to get to go, make it a point to go visit a virtual artist alley online. Go look at 10 independent folks selling their stuff online, and just like you would browse their booths at a convention, and see if there's something you might want to look at. To bring it back to gaming a little bit, you're going to have to treat the real world like an MMO for a little bit. You're going to have to go and visit the shops virtually, see what there is you might be interested in. You have to check in on your friends virtually. Some folks that are artists and so forth may look to doing virtual types of performances. So if you do have a, let's say you have a improv comedy troupe, such as I've seen one here locally, that is going to be doing improv comedy on Twitch because they can't have improv comedy shows, check it out. Tip them if you're so inclined, whether that be through Twitch or a PayPal or so forth. You know, if you're able to. Again, I know some people are very economically concerned right now and can't afford to do any of that. And that's the reality of the situation. So everybody, you can help spread the word, though. So everybody kind of does what they can. And that's the most important thing through all of this. Do what you can. But turning your head the other way and putting your fingers in your ears and going, la, 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 it doesn't exist, is not what, which some people are doing on Twitter. And some people are convinced that this isn't real. I just got a fucking message on a chat thing from somebody who's trying to tell me that this is all, oh, it's like, you never know what the government is doing and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? If you believe that this thing is all a conspiracy, I had a friend that died from H1N1. You want to tell me that that was a fucking conspiracy? Sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up. And that's all I have to say about that. Anyway. Hi.
Hello.
I just had to get that off my chest. That comment really irked me. Like, that the people dying is a fucking lie.
I was trying to figure out yesterday for a little bit until I said I don't really care anymore about why people were mad about some woman that was tweeting that she went to, like, a Red Robin or something like that with full of people. I'm like, I don't understand. I didn't understand why everyone was getting mad at her.
I don't know.
Like, it being stupid, but like,
I don't think it was the fact that she was going to Red Robin and all that, but I think it was just kind of like the fucking smugness of it. You know, it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. There's nothing wrong with supporting your local Red Robin as long as you're applying the appropriate social distancing and all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with it, but I think it was more the fucking tone of it where it's like, well, since I'm young and healthy, fuck all y'all. But I'm going to go have a burger.
I just didn't understand who this person was and why we should even be angry at her because, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, who cares that you went to a restaurant? I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the hell you are.
Yeah.
I never figured that out, so I gave up.
It's some things aren't worth going down the rabbit hole for. Let's talk about video games a little bit best we can. How was your gaming week? Let's talk a little bit about the types of video games you've been playing this week.
Well,
how was your gaming week?
I've been playing a lot of Minecraft because we had our realm that we've been playing. And so that's been fun with the kids. And now I've been trying to research how to do add-ons for Minecraft to add some things. One of the ideas I had in mind I wanted to incorporate because like I like adding new weapons to the game just to make it more interesting. So I wanted to do, like, the Final Fantasy VI weapons, Edgar's weapons. So all of the, chainsaw, auto crossbow, that stuff. That would be awesome to add to the game. So I kind of wanted to see how hard it would be to do something like that. But some of the, like, stuff that people have already made, like, they've taken the mobs. And I don't understand why they haven't added it to the game yet, but they have, like, new mobs that are for Minecraft Earth, but they're not in the vanilla game. So people just said, okay, well, I'm just going to put it in the vanilla game. I mean, it was super easy, and the models are already created, so why not? So I added those in, and dog armor, because that's fun. What else? So we've been playing a lot of Orna, because you created a kingdom, and now we're structured, and it's just been raids and raids and raids and raids.
So you have to have 100 reputation in order to make a kingdom. And what's happened is that Orna still has some balancing issues, right? Because what's happened is that a lot of the people who played Orna early on captured all the land, and they're leveling up faster than the rest of us can level up, so it's impossible for us to take the land back from them. Although I'm learning you can chip away. And that's what I've been doing. So, like, there's a local one here, which some guy took from me. I've been chipping away at him for, like, an entire day. And I should only have to fight him about 3 more times, and I'll finally take my land back. And he'll probably come over and take it, but whatever. But my point is that it's really hard to, like, get 100 pieces of empty land and claim it in Orna because, like, everything's taken by these high-level people. Well, here's the gag. So I was on that cruise. So I was on the Star Trek cruise, and we had ship Wi-Fi. And usually the ship was just far enough from the coast that we were still able to, like, I don't know, however that GPS magic works, it was still able to get a position most of the time. So I was able to bring up Orna, and as we're slowly moving through the ocean, capture the land, because who has the land in the ocean? Me. So I captured, like, 170 pieces of land in the middle of the fucking Atlantic, somewhere between the Bahamas, Cuba, Puerto Rico.
Do they have, like, shops and stuff in the middle of the ocean as
they
well?
They do. It's all monsters, bosses. It's all populated just like it would be on dry land.
That's
it
great.
It kind of cracked me up. I think the cities or the zones or whatever in order are bigger, but, you know, the boat was going, what, 30, 40 miles an hour. And so it would be just long enough for the ship Wi-Fi, scan the area, hold the cap, wait for it to process. Okay, you capped it. Go back to the main screen. Oh, new area. So it was kind of like I did that. Like, I was really exhausted and tired, so I just lied in the bed, and I did that for 45 minutes.
That's
awesome.
And
I captured so much land, so I was like, okay, guys, let's do a kingdom now. I can start a kingdom, which the gag is I should probably not be the person running the kingdom because I'm also like, I'm really weak and sad. So I promoted my Ingress buddies who know what they're doing in that game, so they're able to run. But it's only like 6 of us in the kingdom, so whatever. So, yeah. Yeah, looking at the comments in chat, Bobby Blackwell says, Rob owns the Bermuda Triangle in Orna. I sure do. ActDev says, this is Rob's world and we're all living in it. Well, if you're in the middle of the ocean, yes. Fifth Dream today says, Rob Roberts, Duke of the Ocean. Absolutely, Fifth Dream. You can join the kingdom. You have to be part of the red team or the fire faction in order to be able to do it. I switched from Lightning. I switched to the red team because we had a really good idea since those of us who founded it kind of all play Ingress. We decided to make our team Ingress Red Faction because the Red Faction is a running joke in the game Ingress about people, you know, who kind of get sick of the player versus player element of it and want everybody to get along and all that. So I made a red team and it's called Ingress Red Faction. So if you actually search that, just search for Ingress on the red side and you'll find it. And if you need a faction change, you can do it for like 99 cents. And I figure it goes to support the developers. So whatever. So,
but we do a lot of raids and it's a lot of,
we're trying to get there. We're all learning this whole thing. So it's, but so far so good.
Yes. And I've surpassed you in levels like by a lot.
You have, but it's like, woof. You built your character smarter, I guess, because I go in the magic route. I'm not able to take stuff out the way you can. So, but it's fine. I'm dealing with it.
Or mostly magic heavy based on kind of what I'm looking at here.
Yeah. So there you go. That's Orna, I guess. Anything else for your gaming week?
No, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay. My gaming week. So I was on that cruise. I went on the Star Trek cruise again. And I mentioned this in the opening of the show. Everybody at work, nobody's asking me about where we went or what we did. It's just about, oh, did they have any problems? Oh, they let you on the ship. Okay. They let you off the ship. Okay. None of that was an issue at all. When we got on the ship, the people, so like when you get onto the cruise ship, it's kind of like checking into a hotel, except there's like 15 stations all open and you're going through this big snake line. So when we walked up, you know, she took our passports, read them, she got all the information, and then she picks up this little piece of paper and said, have you within the past 15 days traveled to these parts of China, this parts of Italy? She's like reading this little script and we're like, no. And, okay, get on the boat. So that was it. That was the only thing that was different. And otherwise the cruise ship was very sanitary. They have sanitizer everywhere. Before you go to eat, there's the person there that's washy-washy. I think Royal Caribbean ended up making a song out of it or something. I didn't see this. I guess this YouTube was going out like while we were on the cruise, but they weren't playing on the TV where I was at or anything. But you know, it's part of the habit. You watch, but because of everything that was going on in the world, nobody objected to it. Nobody was like, oh no, don't put sanitizer in my hand or what. Nope, everybody was doing it on the way in. It was just part of the thing, and it was fine. Yeah, like all the celebrities that were advertised were going to be there. I got to have my 15 seconds with Kate Mulgrew, Jerry Ryan. We got some good photos. They're on my personal Facebook, but I guess I should put some of those on Twitter, huh? So I have a great picture with the cast of Star Trek Voyager, at least the ones that were there. So they had like Garrett Wong, Tim Russ, Picardo, the guy that plays Neelix, Kate Mulgrew, Roxanne Biggs Dawson, Jerry Ryan. They had a pretty good contingent of Voyager people that were there. And I did get my picture with all of them, with Alan, so it was nice. We had a great time on the cruise. So I don't know if you guys have any specific questions. So I can talk a little more about it at the end of the show, maybe during the call-in segment, if you guys want to know more specific things. There was an arcade on the cruise.
Nice.
The most overpriced arcade I have ever seen in my entire life, where like one go on a ticket spitter game would cost like a dollar. It was nuts.
Rob? Perhaps you should go to arcades more often, because that's pretty bog standard nowadays.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say their skee ball machine looked really nice. Like, it was really new and fancy. But as far as, like, regular games, I think they would have, like, the Jurassic Park shooter. There's a couple, like, the same type of stuff you'd see in a movie theater.
Yeah.
There was one music game. It was a sad Guitar Hero arcade machine. I say sad, not because the game's fine, but it's also a few years old, and the machine was in a little bit of sad condition. No DDR or anything like that. JD, who many of you know is in chat, he was also on the cruise with us. He went to look at that first thing and, like, texted right away, "There's no DDR, frown." And I'm like, well, the boat goes, like, up, but DDR on the boat might be weird. I don't know if that's the place I'd want to play DDR. But they did have an arcade on the boat, so I thought that was kind of funny. So, yeah. There was all sorts of stuff on the boat I never even got around to seeing. Like, there was a Johnny Rockets restaurant on the boat, and we didn't eat there because it was an extra price to eat there.
And it's also Johnny Rockets.
I can eat Johnny Rockets in the mall. I didn't want to have it on a cruise. That's why we never went there. There was like a rock climbing wall and some stuff. But now the boat's getting refurbished before next year. Alan and I are not going to go back next year. We decided that on the boat is that because we have been saving our money, we want to get a house, which hopefully means a new studio and things like that. So we just have some financial goals we've been working on. Unfortunately, the events of the last week have us all sitting here with a big question mark when it comes to economics. So I don't know what the future is going to hold there. I'm just going to try to remain hopeful. But no Star Trek Cruise 5 for me. Hopefully, if you know things don't go too crazy, Star Trek Cruise 6 will be something we can do. I'd love to do that. But as far as games, been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14. I had nothing going on this weekend and didn't really want to leave the house. I played some Final Fantasy 14 online. You know, Alan and I had little errands to do and things like that. But, you know, with everything that's going on, we've just been trying to keep to ourselves. We met some friends out at a restaurant.
Before you left, though, didn't you play Final Fantasy 7 Remake?
Well, yes. I was going to get to that. So, no, I didn't play it before I left because that came out the Monday I was on the cruise.
Oh, yeah.
So that all hit the internet and all of you had played it before I got back.
I have not played it yet. I downloaded it, but I haven't gotten a chance to play it.
Oh, you should. I did check it out when I got back. So I was, you know, home on Tuesday or something. I was like, oh, yeah, that demo came out. I need to check that out. So I downloaded it and I played it. And I got to say, I was liking it. It is very different from regular Final Fantasy VII because the active time battle is not there. The battling system is a little more like 15, but it actually somehow feels like a little more simplified in a way than 15 did.
That's good.
Because I think they did try to incorporate a little bit of when you have enough blue bar, you can do a more traditional Final Fantasy casting of fire and things like that. So it's a little interesting. But one thing I noticed, like this is the thing that really jumped out at me about the Final Fantasy VII demo, is it was very, very fluid and things really, really popped. And everything had style. Like, it had a very strong artistic direction to the game. You remember in the original Final Fantasy VII, for those that have played it, it was very, very obvious when you were looking at this is a game scene, this is something that's rendered in the game engine, and this is something that was fully rendered beforehand that is a movie file on the CD-ROM. And, like, yes. There were, like, three different versions of Cloud, and one was really blocky, one was very, you know.
Yes, the compression is real.
That doesn't exist now. It is one very, very fluid experience, and I was really pleased with it. you know, just how you would go in a battle and you're doing that. And then just suddenly the character's having a conversation and it's turn around and you're back in a battle. And I was like, dang, this is like nonstop, like artistic flair. Like every button press you do is like some type of spiral jump and woo, whoosh. Like it's just very, very animated. I don't know if everybody's going to be into that, but I was super into it. I think some people are going to be really turned off by the fact it's not like Final Fantasy VII's battle system. I was going to make it a point to try to play through in the – so I played through on the normal mode. I was going to try to make it a point to play through on the classic mode, just kind of compare the difference. I just didn't get around to it, unfortunately. But I'm hearing classic is not really classic. It's just that the game will kind of take care of the hard parts for you. So that way when your bar is full, you're still that part of the ATB is still there. The bar fills up and you're choosing what move you want to do. But the game otherwise kind of plays itself a little bit, but not in a you're not doing anything kind of way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The big scorpion fight was a lot harder than I was expecting. I probably had to pop like 13 potions to get through that battle. It was a tough fight, but I, you know, one problem I have in Final Fantasy games is that I'm constantly hoarding. And by the time I get to the final boss, it's like, wow, I have like 99 X potions and I never used one. So I don't know if like this game is really trying to break that mentality where it's like, no, bitch, you're going to use those potions that you're finding in boxes and stuff. Like there's a reason we're putting two potions in every box and telling you to go break boxes because you're going to use those potions. So if I was able to break down that mental barrier of I don't need to hoard all my shit, like I don't need to save it for a time I'm going to need it because now is the time I'm going to need it. Once I was able to kind of break that mentality, I had no problem with the Scorpion boss. So, but I think it is going to cause some people some issues. But they put the multiple difficulty levels in there, I suppose, for a reason. There is that whole thing. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I got a little frustrated in normal mode. Played classic, and it doesn't auto-attack as often as it would if you're holding square. So I'll play on easy. So there is kind of that middle ground as well where it's like it's easier, but you don't have to worry so much, I guess, about the super death. Easy is the same as classic without the auto-attack. Oh, okay. Sia Tiberi in chat says, I have no interest in playing Final Fantasy VII, but I'm glad people are excited for this. Yeah, and Dark Sakura is in chat saying the demo was pretty rad. Yeah, like I really enjoyed it. It's making me excited for the game. But boy, oh boy, you guys, you better be prepared for the fact that the story is not going to be what you remembered. Because at the end of the demo, and I guess I don't want to spoil a demo, but seriously, go play it. But all I'm going to say is that there's a plot twist at the end of the demo that I had to sit there for a minute and go, that wasn't in Final Fantasy VII. They added that, and that changes, although, and I was talking with a friend about it, and I'm sure you guys are going to jump in and chat, those of you that know what I'm talking about. It was alluded to, and it was a maybe it went down like this type of thing, but they never show it as explicitly as they do in this demo where it's like, oh, no, this is canon, the way this goes down. So that's all I'm going to say about it. If you haven't played the demo, I'm going to say there is a big change in the plot. And so, you know, Loki, with some of the tinfoil hat things I've been saying on this show, I'm like, oh, ho, so they're not afraid to change the plot. So
Aerith comes out and she's like, look at this. I got this armor that's impenetrable by any sword in the universe.
So, yeah, all I'm going to say is just be prepared. There could be plot changes. I still think the big stuff is going to have to stay canon to an extent, but maybe the how it goes down or the after effects or, you know, maybe there's a spirit you can bring back. I don't know. I would not be tied down to, well, it's going to be this way because it was this way in the original Final Fantasy VII. It's still going to be interesting to see how that all kind of plays out because the fact that that game is episodic and is only going to go through that Midgar part of the game. But yeah. I can definitely see now if they're unafraid to add some flourishes and subtext and you can see it in the demo. That's how they're going to get a full game out of just what happened in Midgar because the plot is going to be a little different. So anyway. So that was my game of week, you know, Final Fantasy. I guess one other thing I should say, I did finally, you know, I guess desperate times call for desperate measures type of thing. And I got bored enough where I installed Diablo 3 and I played it again. So if for those of you that were watching the how long am I going to keep the Blizzard launcher off my computer, time's up. However, this is important. I'm playing a game I've already paid for and not giving any extra money. So there is that. But I did. Diablo Season 20 started, and I was like, I kind of want to play. So I did. So I have my witch doctor's up to like level 35 or something like that. So, all right. That's it for my gaming week. So I suppose we should get back into some news. And I think Loki has a big one to talk about.
So E3 2020 has been canceled. And this is not a huge surprise considering all the events prior to it being canceled. GDC, South by Southwest, that type of stuff. So they put out a press release saying, you know, after careful consultation with our members, our member companies regarding the health and safety of everyone in our industry, our fans, our employees, our exhibitors, and our longtime E3 partners, we have made the difficult decision to cancel E3 2020 scheduled for June 9th through the 11th in Los Angeles.
So it's official.
E3. It is official.
But now, and you alluded to this earlier in the show, and I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about this.
I think that it's a scapegoat, because I think that they had already seen the writing on the wall that several things, you know, several companies were dropping out of the event, big name companies. And now it's like, well, we have an excuse to do this because everyone else is doing it as well. It makes sense. The only reason I say that, because like I get it that it's still months off from now. So we don't know what the situation is going to be in June. I mean, by June, we could be in much better shape than we are now. Just like we, you know, there's other conventions that haven't said they're closing yet, and it's around the same time. Or they could have pushed it to a later time. I just feel like that this may have happened even without the whole COVID stuff.
I'm kind of a middle of the roader here. I think it was one of those things where when the COVID stuff happened, it was like, well, now we're really screwed. Like, we were already on the bubble, and now with this, it's like, fuck it. Like, there's no way we can put on the show. I think it was that the COVID virus and all the concerns around that, it made a bad situation even worse.
Yes.
And I think that's what it is with E3, is that E3 was already in a bad place. Now, how are you going to convince people to come to your expo when they were going to have to kind of like extra do that? Like, the E3 is still cool. You know, take your week off and come out to LA and, you know, get all that travel, come out here. And now it's like, oh, fuck. Now, how are we going to convince people to come out here for the super cool E3 amongst all this other stuff?
But see, that's what makes me wonder, because like you have like GDC that's decided that like, okay, we're postponing our event. We're not canceling it outright yet. They're postponing it to the summer. Whereas I think E3 could have maybe gotten away with doing something similar, like postponing it. But I mean, I feel that they were, we kind of thought that they were going to cancel it anyways. And yeah. So I feel that this is just like, it kind of gets lost with all of the craziness going on, that it's like, yeah, we're doing our part. See, we're responsible with people and not like leaking all of their information all over the internet or anything like that. See, we're responsible, so we're doing the right thing and canceling this event. And it could have been also too that like other companies may have taken that precaution like they did with GDC and would have pulled out, and then you're gonna have, you know, E3 with just nobody there. And so while I get it that they had to do it because of that,
yeah,
at the same time it makes me wonder if these companies have success with, you know, their own events and their own digital events and stuff like that, that's even more reason they don't need you anymore.
Well, the ESA is going to have to use this opportunity to make lemonade out of lemons, I suppose. And so now the cancellation of E3 will just get thrown in the pile with South by Southwest and the countless, you know, anime and other gaming cons that are being canceled and so forth. You know, so E3 is just going to kind of get thrown in that pile, and nobody is going to assume, oh, there was some type of internal failure at E3 that caused this to happen. So the ESA has a reprieve in this regard to go away for a year and figure out how you're going to fix the show, and hopefully.
But you better make good use of that year.
Well, and you know, and as I said earlier, there's a, I know Microsoft is planning their own thing, and I'm sure you're going to talk about some of this in a minute, but there's still that real possibility that Microsoft may not be putting out the Xbox One X this year after all, and Sony may not put out the PlayStation 5.
I don't know about that. It's still a good, like, that's half a year away.
It is, but the economic damage, Loki, it's gonna be big.
Well, I don't know if we even know what the economic situation is
going
to be.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to be canceled. I'm just saying prepare yourself for that possibility, because it's a distinct possibility, you know, and if this economic stuff gets even crazier than it already is, quite frankly. I mean, many people are going to be out of work for 6 to 8 weeks. We know that now. Like, that is going to happen. So, yeah, it's just, yeah. Anyway, but as far as E3 goes, now, some stuff that had been pointed out in our chat, Bobby Blackwolf over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork said, last week while you were out, IM8Bit pulled out as a partner, which means there was probably friction behind the scenes on how to put it together. And Fifth Dream Today follows that up, that Jeff Keighley guy never had to announce he wasn't going after all. I guess he never really did have to make that big announcement, huh? But he did, and so we knew that there was something going on. And yeah, the IM8Bit thing just kind of pours onto that, where it's E3 must have had some real struggles behind the scene on where they were going, or an unpopular decision was made, or something was up.
That will all come out of the woodwork eventually, I think. We'll find out about it.
Yeah.
But...
SSG 100 Matt in chat says, I'm sure as hell not going to get a new console this year. Ask me a week ago, then yeah, I would have. Even I mean, there was a time and date where I said, oh yeah, I'm going to buy them all just because I am very fortunate again where my job so far doesn't seem to be as impacted as other stuff, but I don't know the long-term effects of this stuff. So
I'm getting a new console.
If they come out this year.
I'll get a new console. I didn't hear about any sort of delays with Intellivision, so there.
There you go. Intellivision, if nothing else, right?
Television wants you to stay home and play with your family. Don't go out in that dirty outside, you know?
Release the Amico early. We need it. Keep people indoors. All right. Anyway, so E3, not going to happen this year. Maybe it's going to be a blessing in disguise as far as the show is concerned.
Yes, and as you were alluding to.
It is a little farther out than most things are being canceled. And
yes,
that was one other thing that made people raise an eyebrow. Not a lot of June stuff. The only other thing in June that I've heard is on the bubble right now is, ironically, also in L.A., L.A. Pride. I think they have canceled that. That was supposed to be so E3 is during the week, right? LA was supposed, Pride was supposed to be that weekend. And they are talking about that is probably not going to happen now, or it's going to happen in a scaled down type of form.
Well, you know, shit's hitting the fan when Disneyland closes for a few weeks.
Have you turned on the TV?
What, are they back?
No. Disneyland is closing for a
That's
few
what
weeks.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's,
you no, know, yeah, shit. No, it's fucking serious. So anyway. So companies reacting.
Yeah. So like, of course, you know, companies had, different responses to that. So Microsoft said, you know, E3 has always been important to us, but you know, they're going to do a digital event instead, which they'll release the details of those soon. Nintendo, you know, they said they support the ESA's decision to cancel the event. Of course, they're going to be, you know, doing, I think, their own digital event as well. Ubisoft is looking to do a digital event. EA, I thought that was funny that they really talked to EA and like, they're not fucking going. Who cares what EA thinks? And they,
don't they usually rent the thing across the street?
Yeah, or, they yeah. said, no, we're continuing to follow the coronavirus developments around the world very closely, and we will be reviewing how that changed our plans, or how that may change our plans for EA Play 2020. Devolver Digital, that was also a funny one, too. The week of E3 has always been a big part of what we do and genuinely bummed about the cancellation event itself. Lots of junk right now, but we have the live stream, Devolver Direct, and press conference, and possibly more. Their shit's always crazy anyways. And then Square Enix, you know, they've, I think they're probably going to do something digital as well. So,
Well, we'll see. I mean, even if the consoles don't happen, the games certainly will. So, you know, because they've been in development for a long time.
Oh, I forgot to ask, since it came out already, did you get a chance to play Space Channel 5 VR game?
I didn't. I kind of missed that. I need to go back and catch up on that. So just obviously I've been distracted with everything else going on. So, yeah, I want to check that out for sure. So.
Speaking of VR, actually, it's funny. I saw a picture the other day. Apparently they added a VR like thing to Roseville Golfland. So they actually have like a place where you can play like Beat Saber and stuff like that.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Which is kind of cool.
Well, but it's probably closed right now because I heard a lot of VR arcades. That's it. So even though they sanitize everything between people, it's just, yeah, it's a weird, crazy world right now. All right, a world so crazy that these rumors are coming up, and this is a big one about Silent Hills possibly coming back. Of course, this is the PT demo playable trailer from years ago on the PlayStation 4. We all know that, you know, Kojima, Konami, they had a falling out. Kojima kind of left and made Death Stranding instead. But he's been kind of teasing this whole return to horror type of thing. What the hell is going on with Silent Hill? May it be coming back? Well, this is, again, rumors. But it's rumors coming from sources that have been right before. They kind of have a track record going on. It's Twitter folks, Aesthetic Gamer, and Rely on Horror talking about what's happening here. So apparently there is a Silent Hill reboot game coming for the PlayStation 5, and it's coming from SIE Japan, and it's being helmed by Keishiro Toyama, who is the director and writer of the original Silent Hill, Masahiro Ito, who did all the creature designs with the first game, first four games, and our pal Akira Yamaoka, who did the music. Oh,
God, that would be amazing.
So, I mean, that is a dream team.
That would be fucking amazing.
Yeah, that is a dream team of people, so we'll see. You know, they're saying it's not yet a done deal, but Kojima would be involved. Apparently the rumor, and this is why I'm kind of like, you know, again, our old favorite plausibility, you ready? That Sony may have played mediator between Kojima and Konami to make this happen. I could kind of believe it. Sony is going to need some exclusives to keep the PlayStation 5 competitive. And I've talked before on a previous episode that, you know, Konami's biggest strength right now, they're not really making games. I mean, sure, there was the Bomberman thing.
But their games haven't been very good. Like, the last Metal Gear Solid game, crap. I mean, Metal Gear Survive or whatever, yeah. That was bullshit.
Because that wasn't a Kojima game.
Yeah, so. And then there was the Contra game, which is kind of... Yeah.
So they've been struggling a lot, and they've been going to the outside a lot. Like those collections. That yeah. was all those same people that are doing the arcade game releases on Switch and stuff. Sorry, I forget their name, but that's doing all that stuff. So, you know, they're getting help with all of these projects. So Konami's biggest strength is its IP. So if they're going to loan that IP to somebody like Sony to make a good game, to make that IP stronger, so Konami can then turn around and make slot machine games out of it and sell the IP into figurines and things like that, then it would make good business sense. So there are a lot of elements of this that make sense. It's just when you start to name names and it is the dream team of people you would want working on this where you start to get a little bit skeptical. And that's where the plausibility starts to go, is that this is really a dream team of people and it's going to be a hell of a thing if they really were to get all these people together. Apparently, Sony pitched to Kojima making Silent Hills similar to Until Dawn, where it's a narrative-driven experience, also kind of like The Walking Dead. We'll see. I would assume.
Sounds like get a new VR game to go along with it.
Yeah. Now, these rumors are kind of also kind of spinning into this, that Sony may actually have a thing with Konami that involves not just Silent Hill, but Metal Gear and Castlevania, all the big IPs as well. That one is like a 4chan thing, so I think we're kind of like, okay, Jan, you know, we're not totally on board with that yet. That's a little bit more a pie in the sky thing. But, you know, where there's smoke, who knows? Shad Starzik, or Shane, is in our chat right now saying the rumor is two different games, one from Kojima and one from Ito Yamaoka Toyama, so they'd not be crossing over. But, of course, this is so fake-sounding. Yeah, and that's why – that's right. I had heard that one is like a Silent Hill reboot and the other is Silent Hills Realized. Having two games around the same time, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe one for the PlayStation 4 this year and one for the what if it's just a fucking Silent Hill remaster with the, you know,
they
did 2 and 3. And it wasn't great.
Yeah,
but they didn't do the first one.
They really shit on that one. I don't know.
Maybe something to hold us over until an actual Silent Hills is ready. I don't know. Azette pointing out Castlevania, dope, Netflix original Silent Hill anime. That's true, is that Castlevania is getting a lot of eyes on it again because the anime is doing very well and just had its third season. So,
ooh, a Silent Hill anime would be pretty sweet.
Right? But again, if Konami could get the strength back in those IPs by having good games, they could have the leverage to sell a Silent Hill anime, TV, who knows type of thing to Netflix, similar to what they have with Castlevania. So again, like, it makes sense for Konami to start to let their game development go into other hands a little bit. And it could be a win-win move for Sony. But I realize a lot of it is fan wank and feels like fan wank, so don't hedge your bets on it. but I thought it was worth bringing up. Silent Hills as a PlayStation 5 exclusive would make a lot of sense. It would make a lot of people happy. And Sony knows that. And I think that's key, too. Sony knows that. We'll see if it comes
to fruition. And I think a Sony exclusive, like Silent Hill title that's of like caliber of like Metal Gear Solid 4 or something like that, you know, where you know that's going to bring a lot of money into Konami, a lot more than their shitty attempt at a game would be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And by the way, Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I didn't think Contra Rogue Core was as bad as people were saying.
I don't know. It looked pretty damn terrible to me.
I mean, different folks like different games. And sometimes, you know, games that not everybody likes might be a thing that you're really into. We talked about this on a previous show, like bad games that you still love. So it happens sometimes. And I'm going to say, I haven't played it, so I have no opinion on it yet. Maybe I'll have plenty of time with all this, you know, sudden time to sit at home to catch up on that, some of that stuff. So we'll see. All right, moving on. Some big changes with other properties.
Yeah, you know, like, if it was a different time, I'd probably be... Well, first off, I'd have to be excited about sports games, which I'm not. But, like, if it was a different time and 2K wasn't what they are today, I might be more excited. But 2K is going to be producing an NFL game this year. It's going to be the first... After, like, it's been like since 2K15, so 16 years. And apparently, you know, since NFL's been exclusively an EA game for a while now, this will be interesting to see some competition. The bad part about that is it's 2K games now. It's the same 2K that put out the fucking gambling loot boxes in NBA 2K and shit all over WWE. With their 2K game that just came out last year that is buggy and broken as shit. And then you have also, of course, the wonderful parts of NBA 2K20 that rely on stats from actual league games, the My League mode. Well, because the NBA has suspended their games, it's fucking broken. So, yeah.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat wants to point out regarding the 2K NFL game, it is not a simulation NFL game. It will be an arcade game. It will not compete with Madden. Madden will still be the only simulation NFL game. So it'll be kind of like, what was that Super Nintendo
Blitz
game? Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's still...
super high impact.
It's still going to be a game. I mean, yeah, so it's a little bit more NBA Jam than it is Madden, but still, it's... People are looking for a better game because all it is, it's been just, you know, EA Sports, and it's just the same damn game churned out year after year. And I wish I'd say that NBA 2K was better than that, but it's not at this point. It's the same damn game churned out every single year. So, well, at least there's some competition now, so maybe that'll mean it's better.
Really random question. I'm sorry to bring it up, but you know, the talk of the NFL thing, and some people have kind of talked about, well, if there is an NFL next year and so forth with everything that's going on, why won't they just play games in empty stadiums? Like, I thought that was kind of like what they were doing in some cases. They would just play the games in empty stadiums. But I feel like, I may not be a sports person. You may not be a sports person.
Maybe they don't make enough money. They make a lot of money of,
well, I feel like
everyone coming in.
People need entertainment more than ever right now. So why won't they still play the games? I mean, is it just they don't want the players coming into contact with each other or something? Like, maybe that's what happened in the NBA. I don't know. I totally admit my ignorance of this, you guys. But, like, why won't they just play the games in empty stadiums and still allow people to watch it? Maybe, you know, I guess if they have to charge for it.
Didn't they have to test the whole team for the Utah Jazz or something? Or who the fuck stayed
the
Jazz?
Yeah, he was with the Utah team.
So.
But I'm just, I don't know. Like, and with Broadway freaking getting shut down. It's like people still need to be entertained. Can't we put on those shows in like a closed circuit television type of thing? I don't know. Some of that's going to have to be reevaluated, I think.
This is now
Disney's putting out Frozen 2 way earlier than they were originally going to. And I think the episode 9 of Star Wars came out earlier than it was originally supposed to, at least on like digital types of platforms. So like some companies are kind of realizing, we may have to change the way we're thinking about this a little bit and beam stuff directly into homes because everybody's at home now. So I don't know. Yeah. Interesting. SJ100 Matt in chat says the CDC recommended that if you shouldn't have gatherings more than 50 people. If you include players and personnel, TV crew, etc., you can't do a game with under 50 people. TV crews by themselves are over 50 people for a game. All right, I guess.
Can't they remotely do that from
like? Well, I mean, or like maybe let's hope that if we are looking at squishing the curve and we see that maybe decline is starting to happen within a few weeks, can we maybe at least get to, and I would hope to fuck in a couple weeks, testing is going to be way more readily available. I mean, crossing my fingers and my toes, and maybe I'm just being an idiot, but I really, really would hope that testing is going to be more readily available in the next couple weeks because it's badly needed. Like then they could kind of like test people easier. And I think that's what it's going to take. Once people can kind of like know their status, then they can know how to proceed appropriately. And that's, I think, going to be a big thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I don't want to get too far off topic, but I just feel like that's, I don't know. All right. Moving on. Other things that are not going to be happening due to world events. The TurboGrafx-16 Mini, remember that? That was supposed to be out this month.
Yeah.
The TurboGrafx-16 was supposed to happen in March. Yeah, I remember. I pre-ordered one on Amazon. I was waiting on that, but it's been delayed until further notice.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be out on March 19th. Yeah, I definitely the events of what's going on in the real world, I'm like, eh. You know, it's fine.
Got that unlimited data cap. Now you can go download all those ROMs.
It does put things into perspective a little bit, right? So, yeah, and it's due to supply issues being caused by things that are being shut down and harder to deal with because of COVID or novel coronavirus. Konami, in a statement put on their website, regarding PC Engine Core Graphics Mini Console and its peripheral accessories, the manufacturing and shipping facilities in China have encountered an unavoidable suspension due to the current coronavirus COVID-19 outbreak. As a result, the delivery of all PC Engine Core Graphics Mini products, which was originally scheduled for March 19th, will be delayed until further notice. But they've been getting the numbers in China down, right? Like, it's not gone. It's far from it. But China is coming down, right? So hopefully, again, maybe I'm just being stupidly optimistic, but hopefully in the next couple weeks, maybe we can start seeing reality move again. That
maybe.
Would be nice. So, yeah, and then we can get our TurboGrafx-16 minis, I guess. So, Dark Sakura is like, I can play my arcade CDs or a Duo RX because she has the original stuff. But, yeah. I don't have a real TurboGrafx, so I have to use the fake one. So, I would have been looking forward to that. But I completely understand. Like, I'm not going to angry tweet. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, if the concession I have to make here is that I don't get a TurboGrafx-16 this month, it's not that big a deal, all things considered.
It's like, I'll have nothing to play. 600 games in my Steam library. You know, it's like,
exactly.
It's
exactly
like, there's right. Nothing to play.
All right, let's move on. Loki, this should be some news that excites you.
It does excite me because I fucking love Lego.
I like Lego, too. It's one of those
exactly.
things you should do more of.
I have a very hidden obsession with Lego. So this is very exciting. They announced a whole bunch of sets that are going to be coming that are Super Mario Brothers themed. And what's unique about these, though, is the actual character that they have has, like, a digital display built in for the eyes, mouth, and, like, kind of upper torso. So it interacts with a bunch of other play features that you build, like, for example, coins, or you can stomp on a Goomba and it makes like a smashing stuff. There's like a bunch, like the flagpoles and everything. So no idea how much this is going to cost or when it's going to come out, but it's very interesting what they've got here. And I will definitely have to pick up a bunch of this stuff, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm definitely gonna be picking this up.
Nintendo seems to be licensing out their IP for all sorts of interesting tie-ins lately. I saw, it's not on our show world tonight, but I saw somewhere on a tweet or something, they had a deal going with Levi's jeans as well. It was going to be like Nintendo Weird. Type of jeans. Yeah, I saw like one design where like coins were kind of like falling out of the back pocket. Like,
that's cool.
It looked maybe a little more for kids. Like, I don't know if I would go so far to wear those, but
I would.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'd totally wear that shit.
But who knows? I like the shoes that look like Nintendo controllers, and I always love good socks. Look at my socks. Oh, it's probably hard to see. They have a little sushi on them right now, but I love my,
so,
love my cute socks.
Well, as I was going to say, there's also yet another set that Lego might be making. Now, this is not necessarily a guarantee. So Lego has this whole page where it's Lego ideas. And basically with the idea sets, any...
Isn't that where people submit their dream stuff and like the RuPaul's Drag Race?
Sort of, yeah, yeah.
It was in the running, but
they did. So, yeah, so what happens is they basically submit ideas. You can... And it's pretty easy nowadays. They have the whole brick... oh, God, what the hell? It's Stud.io. It's like their studio thing that you can actually build with digital Legos and build sets and render them to look like an actual set. And then what's cool about those is, like, you can even take the parts and piece it out. And there's a secondhand site, which now is owned by Lego, called Bricklink, that you can outsource all that stuff and literally get the pieces to build your own sets. So
that existed years ago. I remember diddling with 8-bit art type of things in it.
Well, yeah, Lego has their own thing where you can order it through them. But these are all secondhand sellers. It's not directly through Lego. And you can still do the Lego stuff as well. And they used to have their own Lego digital studio thing that you could order directly through that and even make the manuals and stuff. But this actually creates manuals as well. Anyways, long story short. Some folks had put together a Sonic the Hedgehog set. And you may remember that Lego did a Sonic the Hedgehog set, sort of, with Lego Dimensions. And so they had actual Sonic the Hedgehog minifigs, and then they had a whole bunch of levels and stuff built there. But they have, in this one, it looks like a Green Hill Zone set that this guy put together with Sonic, a bunch of the animals. We have a giant Dr. Robotnik mech and some of the other robots in the game. And I believe that they have reached their 10,000 supporters. So that means that this is going to be one of the sets that they're going to look at as a possibility to make into a real set. And that all depends on like licensing and stuff like that. Some other sets, like I've gotten quite a few of these before that Lego Ideas sets. I have a fishing store that's pretty awesome, the Treehouse, which is cool. But there's some more like popular brands that like the Friends. They have the Central Perk from Friends. You may remember they also have from Big Bang Theory, the like couch in the apartment or whatever. Flintstones. They did even Steamboat Willie with a collaboration with Disney and stuff like that.
Bobby was just saying in chat that was the one he just put together, was the Steamboat Willie thing.
Yeah.
So a lot more people tinkering with Legos during this downtime.
Tron, the Tron light bikes. That was also another Lego Ideas one as well. So Disney seems to be pretty safe at because they work with them anyways. But this would be pretty cool. I would definitely dig seeing some more game stuff come out at the very least. I like the Brickhead stuff as well. But it'd be cool to see what happens with this. So this will go into their, I think they do a quarterly kind of evaluation of whether it's going to become a real set or not. And then once they do that, then they work with Lego designers to actually figure out like if they need to tweak it or whatever.
By the way, on a related note, since like Sonic is all the rage right now, did you hear that the Sonic the Hedgehog movie just passed Detective Pikachu to become the top grossing video game movie, period?
Cool.
So, I mean, yeah. Sadly, with the cruise and everything, I never got around to seeing it. And now running out and seeing a movie isn't exactly at the top of my things to do. I would, if they put it out digital, like in the next couple of weeks, I would totally pay for it to watch it in my home. So maybe that'll be a thing that'll happen. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to movie theaters. Like, you know, because all the movies are getting delayed, right?
Some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so weird. I bet you see a lot more classic movies being screened to try to kind of bide the time over a little bit. I don't know.
Well, there's lots of series definitely to watch. You know, that's for sure. I wanted to check out. There's this show Freaks, or it's a movie Freaks that looks pretty cool, kind of like a mutant thing they have on Netflix. It's a lot of shows that like deep cuts you can get into. And
speaking of movies, you know I was supposed to be doing in a performance of Clue the movie. We're going to be doing a Shadowcast.
You can catch up on Good Place.
Yeah, I can finally catch up on The Good Place. I was going to say I was supposed to be in a Shadowcast. This all like came and went while we were out, but I was going to be playing Mr. Green. And if you've seen the movie from the 80s, you know that's kind of funny casting for me. So I was going to be playing Mr. Green in the Clue Shadowcast here in Sacramento. That was supposed to be April 11th. Well, that has been... not canceled, but it's been postponed. They actually are getting Leslie Ann Warren, who played Miss Scarlet in the movie, to be there. And she, you know, because of all the travel concerns, she's older, you know, she's in her 70s.
Right, yeah.
So she kind of asked if they could do it at a different day, and it certainly makes sense. But now the new day's in June, and I'm like, I hope that was long enough out, you know. But at least I do hope if – we all get this thing eliminated, you know, within the next 6 weeks, or you know, reduced significantly to the point where we don't have to worry as much. If in the next 6 weeks or whatever, then, you know, this could be one of the first big events. Oh, we can come back and do this thing. That'll be fun.
That would be
nice.
Cool.
So it'd be really nice. So, all right. Anyway. Yeah. Fifth Dream today in chat says, I'm glad mad they delayed New Mutants again. I want to see it so much, but not during this. 14-year-old me still needs that damn movie to exist. I've been waiting 30 years. Yeah. I've been hearing that. Tiger Claw in chat's talking about the Sonic movie says, also the Sonic movie came out in time before this coronavirus thing. If it came out in this time, it wouldn't get those numbers. Yeah. The timing, you know, we kind of said this when the movie came out. I think the timing in February, despite the virus stuff, the timing in February really worked out in his favor. I think it just inherently did better as a February movie than it would have in the fall when it was originally supposed to happen. So I think despite that whole CGI thing being weird, I think it actually ended up working out in its favor in the long run. So. All right. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about something interesting related to PlayStation 4 Dreams, which is on my list of things I need to get to now that I'm back from the cruise. I really want to check this out.
Yeah, my number one list or number one thing I need to do is move my PlayStation 4 to my desk because I can't get near the TV, which is too bad because, you know, 4K and everything, but I'll take 1080, I guess.
Well, I love Media Molecule stuff. Little Big Planet was amazing, and I loved all those games. So, of course, I want to check out Dreams, and I just, you know.
Maybe I just need to get a 4K wraparound monitor. Yeah.
With everything going on in the world, I haven't had a chance to check out Dreams yet, but I hope to get to it. But some of you are already in there. You're playing with it. You're having a good time with it and building things in it. And you might be building your own game. You might be building some art in it. And what's interesting, Media Molecule has now launched a beta evaluation program that is going to allow Dream creators to sell their work off PlayStation, meaning things like a music video or a poster. So kind of like art that is inspired by things that you've done in the game. You still own the rights to the original creations and Dreams. They just want to make it easier for you to profit from that work. You are not guaranteed to get in this program. You have to join the early access program. You have to be in good standing. So if you made World of Dicks, you're probably not going to get into the beta.
Or like all the other like weird meme things with like.
Yeah. Or if your entire thing is based off of copyright infringement, probably not going to work out so well for you.
Especially
so
if it's World of Dicks.
Yeah, especially World of Dicks. But Media Molecule wants to know, what are you doing? When are you going to finish it? And so forth. So they're going to ask a lot of questions. This could be an interesting way for artists to develop things in this very strange time right now. But I can't wait to get in there and see what people are coming up with in Dreams.
It's a game I need to actually pick up. I think, I don't know though, like, I picked up the last Little Big Planet like that as well. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm really going to dive in there, play all those games.
Oh, if you haven't played Little Big Planet 3, it's great. You know? I love that it would play the old stuff from 1 and 2 as well. It was really nice. So being able to kind of upgrade all of that. So, all right, let's move on. We're going to go back to a segment recorded earlier today with Dark Sakura and get into the classic game of the week. Or, you know, once a month we do something a little bit different. So let's get to that right now. All right, so as promised, I'm back, and Dark Sakura back on the Discord with us earlier in the day. Hello.
Hi.
So, you know what? It's going to take more than the big C to stop you from bringing us the classic game of the week. So every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking this game out. But once a month in 2020, Dark Sakura instead decides to play a little pinball with the classic pinball table of the month. So, Dark Sakura, what'd you pick for us?
I picked Doctor Who.
All right.
So far, I picked tables that are all ones that I own. Funny enough, Doctor Who is on the other side of where my World Cup soccer is. Right in between it is Black Rose, which you might hear about later. So, Doctor Who came out, not the original show, because the original show started in 1963. The pinball table was released in September 1992, manufactured by Midway using the Midway WPC Fliptronics 2 system. It was designed by, I'm going to butcher this guy's name, Bill Futzenreuter and Barry Alsler. Artwork was done by Linda Deal, Really, really decent artwork. But it had some voices in the game taken directly from episodes of Doctor Who. They did get Sylvester McCoy, who was the seventh Doctor, to record some lines for it, which was really good. They had Brian Miller as the Daleks. He did pass away not long ago, but he also was married to Liz Sladen, who was Sarah Jane Smith in the show. And they had Terry Molloy as Davros, who had played Davros in the series. You also, you know, with the game, you go through, because it came out before that movie came out in the U.S. So you do have all of the seven doctors that were out for now. So you had the first Doctor by William Hartnell. He has, each of the doctors have their own modes in it. His mode awards an extra escape letter each time a shot is made, so you can get the video mode faster. The second doctor was Patrick Troughton. He gives you more time to make the combo shot for the hang on target. The third doctor, which was played by John Pertwee, gives you more time to shoot who the letters for that, which is more chances for extra balls. The fourth doctor, Tom Baker, gives you an easier repair letter, you know, thing time. For the fifth doctor, he doubles your jet bumper score, which gives you faster time to light the Trasmat to collect your currently selected doctor. Sixth doctor, Colin Baker, increases your playfield multiplier. And the seventh doctor, Sylvester McCoy, awards an additional shot every time the up-down target bank is hit, which is the time expander that gives you faster multi-ball. So when you've got your lock lit, and honestly, I stay mostly in seventh doctor mode, and then I play in fifth doctor mode a lot. Those are like my two modes, because the seventh doctor, once you have your ball locked, you you would, on your next ball, you switch to the seventh doctor, and you can light up the mode. You have to hit this, like, time expander thing to get a certain limit on it, and then you get your multi-ball faster, which then you can switch to, you know, another doctor if you're lucky enough to do that, or you've collected the doctor. So multi-ball lights up after you've hit 15 time expander factors. And so the mini playfield will rise to the level 3 because you have like a rising level on there. And then you have three gates that have a Dalek on it. And so you have to shoot one of those doors to start the multi-ball, and then you have to bang on the Daleks for a while and they scream at you. So other little bits and pieces with your, you know, with your ramps, you have a little TARDIS in there, which is great. And then the first 100 of the games that were released had a moving Dalek topper, you know, for the top of the marquee that would turn side to side as it was speaking. They had a body in there with a motor, cam, and optoelectronic system. And it was pretty expensive. But you can get the production Dalek toppers, that you can get them with wobblehead kits. The prototype actually had the old Bally-style back box in a different class altogether. But then they changed it to the Williams-style because it was cheaper for production. The rule sheet on it is pretty different from other pinballs, but it was really not conducive to the casual pinball player playing it. Although I honestly enjoy it, I've seen people really love it for tournament play. But it was basically, according to Flitzenreuter, the designer, that they made about a dozen sample games with 100 prototypes before the real production released. You know, like I said, they had the Dalek head that would move side to side. They removed all those electronics from it to make it cheaper. But the wiring and the software in the board is still intact. So if you do buy an aftermarket kit, you can get that done. He said also that the way to tell if yours was going to have that, that Williams glued the stationary Dalek head under the body. So if you're going to put those kits in there, you have to unglue that head off. And that Williams used a lot of glue. But you can look for irregular cuts or glue remnants, and you know if yours has been retrofitted or if it was original because of the amount of glue that they used. So there were different also prototype playfields that still went into production. So for the machine number two, which is the prototype, if ever you're seeing this, the Doctor's cape in the center playfield is a solid color, not tartan. Some of the Daleks are a different color with different ball colors, and the playfield is a diamond plate. The slogans that came out with it is "The Doctor is in" and "It's about time." And there's a lot more that you can get on this. You can even unload the whole ROM set and artwork kit on the Internet Pinball Database presents. That's ipdb.org, and you want to look up Doctor Who for machine. But that's it. It's a really fun one. It's definitely a novel one. It, to me, it's a lot of fun. You know, especially for classic Who fans. It's got so many good voices in it. It really a treat to play if you're a Doctor Who fan. It is complex. I will tell you this. The rule sets on it are freaking weird. But it's a lot of fun. I've been playing a little bit of Doctor Who while I was on quarantine. So if you find one out in the wild, treat it with care. Play it. Give it some love. Because who knows, maybe we'll get a new Doctor Who down the line. You hear me, Stern or Jersey Jack or one of you folks?
Time to get on that, for sure.
We need All right. sequel.
There it is, your classic pinball table of the month, Doctor Who. So thanks again, Jamie, for joining us long distance this week in light of everything that's going on. Rest up. Try not to go too bonkers from all the self-isolation. And I guess we'll see you in a couple weeks. We'll probably have you on the show next week in one way or another, but hopefully back live in a couple weeks.
I've been harassing the cat, so she's quite put out.
All right. Until next time, Dark Sakura, thank you. And feel better.
And will do. Bye, everybody.
We're thinking of you. Bye.
All right. I think that was it throwing me back to live. Hi, me. Thank you, me. Here we are back live in our studio and the classic pinball table of the month. I love that one. I love the Doctor Who table. So that's a good, great highlight to hear from Dark Sakura there. And hello to everybody who's watching in our chat room, because, of course, we do tape live on Sunday nights. Today's been a little bit half live, half prior taped, but a lot of things are a little weird right now with what's going on in the world. But hope you all are being very safe and just taking all those precautions like we talked about earlier and not freaking out too much. We'll get through this together. So anyway, let's get back into some news. We got some rapid fire news to get to.
Yes. So there's a pretty cool prototype that someone made on itch.io for a first person Mario game that you shoot plungers at Goombas and stuff like that. And so this guy, Noonan, created this for the Mario holiday. And
March 10th happened.
Yes,
this
that's
week.
Right.
Yeah.
That's when they announced the whole Lego Mario thing.
Yeah. You know, a lot of things because of, you know, the world news just kind of got like, oh yeah, that happened. And March 10th is one of them. Pi Day was yesterday. You know, 314, Pi Day was yesterday.
It's yes, kinda, I missed out on my free
people,
pizza.
Yeah, people kind of forgot about that. Well, not everybody forgot. Like, you know, I saw Jamie on Facebook talking about it, but for the most part, I think people kind of forgot to go out and get their pies. Well,
anyways, so Sean Noonan, he's been a level designer on several games like Far Cry and Watch Dogs, but now he's put together a game called the Super 1-1 Challenge on itch.io, and basically said it's part of a MapCore challenge, some Discord campaign that tasked developers with reimagining classic video game levels. So he did this in Unreal 4, and it's funny, he has a little trailer for it. It's talking about hire this guy, you know, he made Mario in Unreal 4. But you can go check it out. It's name your price. So the URL you want is Sean, that's S-E-A-N, dash Noonan, N-O-O-N-A-N, dot itch.io/super.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, go check it out. And it's pretty awesome.
By the way, speaking of indie developers, just want to give a quick shout out to YYR. As far as I know, Sharpshooter was released on Steam. Because somebody posted a thing in the Discord saying it was showing up in their recommended games. I was playing that version he gave us all a little early a couple weeks ago on the show. But I just want to make sure he got his proper shout out. So if you haven't already picked up your copy of Sharpshooter, get on that.
Yeah. And then, of course, this week we have the release of Doom 64. But as an added bonus, there's going to be a brand new chapter added to the game. So that's pretty cool.
That's always neat to kind of see, like, stuff added to, like, really old games. Like, it's like a deleted scene or something that comes back. Jason talked about this briefly in tonight's intro, but yeah.
Yeah. And then also they said that with that, the game supports monitors with refresh rates over 60 hertz. And it says it'll allow speeds above 1,000 frames per second. I don't know if we need that much, but cool. So I'll have to check that out as well. Never played Doom 64.
1,000 frames does seem a little bit excessive.
It does seem a tad
excessive. I didn't talk about it in my gaming week, but I did buy that Doom on PlayStation 4 that you can like log in and download the different mods and things like that. It's cool. It you notice the 60 frames a second. It runs really smooth. But, you know, it's Doom from the 1990s, but it's still cool.
Yeah.
Like, I like playing it on controller. It's fun. So. All right, moving on to some other rapid-fire news. So funny, it's funny that you brought up something that one of the guys from Watch Dogs was doing because it ties into this. Free games from the Epic Games Store. Hey, is Hype Mayhem out there listening? Actually, Hype Mayhem just gave a tip about on-sale games. Apparently, Mortal Kombat 4 is now out there digitally, and it's on Good Old Games right now for $6. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I liked Mortal Kombat 4, actually. I liked like Tanya and some of the new characters that Mortal Kombat 4 kind of brought on us. That's cool. Who's the air god? Fujin? Was that his name?
Raiden,
but air? Anyway. All right. Anyway. Getting into free games from the Epic Games Store, there are some free games available right now, including Anodyne 2, Return to Dust, A Short Hike, and Mutazione. I hope I said that right. It's a little bit of a twisty name. But yeah, those games are all free right now. Let's see. Anodyne 2 is jumping and driving on 3D landscapes. You shrink into 2D dungeons. A Short Hike is where you hike and climb the mountainside of Hike Peak, and you go into different areas, discover hidden treasure. And Mutazione is a mutant soap opera where small-town gossip meets the supernatural. Well, that sounds like fun. But I bring up Watch Dogs because next week, the free games are going to be The Stanley Parable and Watch Dogs, the first one. So those are some big names.
Good. Another platform I won't play that game on because I own it on PlayStation 4 and have never played. It was literally my first game on PlayStation 4, and I was super excited to get it. And then I think I got what was the game? It was – I don't know. There was another first-party game that was coming out that was, like, supernatural and stuff that was pretty awesome, and I played that instead. I never went. Because the two games I got originally with my PlayStation 4 were Destiny and Watch Dogs. Mm-hmm. Neither one played.
Funny.
Ever.
Oh, I got my PlayStation 4 so early. It was like you had the free PlayStation Plus games of Contrast and Resogun, and those were, like, the two games I played. There was one disc game I had, too, but, yeah, this is funny. Anyway. Going on to another rapid fire story here. This one's about Pokemon Go and Wizards Unite. As I'm sure you can understand, Niantic has canceled community days related to these. Abra Day was supposed to be yesterday. That did not end up happening. I'm sure you don't need to talk about why. But it is worth bringing up if you weren't already aware. I know not everybody is playing Pokemon Go, but if you open up the game right now for one coin. So if you've, like, ever put something in a gym for 10 minutes, you have one coin. So for one coin, you can get a pack of 30 incense right now. And apparently incense in the game right now is pretty good. Incense will last for an hour and seems to be bringing up Pokemon pretty regularly without you actually having to walk, which is – this is the game rural players wanted. and it's going to be interesting because it's going to probably make a lot of people go, why can't you keep it this way? Because apparently it's not just like Pidgey and Rattatas and the equivalent trash from other.
I haven't played Pokemon Go in a while.
Yeah, but apparently the incense right now is pretty good. So if you haven't already gotten on that deal, I thought I would mention that. So no news yet as to when these things will be rescheduled, but I'm sure you have more important things to worry about right now. But those are things that did happen this week. So that is that. By the way, speaking of Pokemon Go, I was talking with Act Deft while the Classic Game of the Week video was playing, and Act Deft is going to do a stream after OLR tonight where he's actually going to kind of walk us through the Pokemon Go Battle League. So if you haven't played in a while and you're kind of curious, like, what's all this battle PvP stuff about, Act Deft knows a little bit about that, so we're going to raid him after the show tonight and take a look at that. So for those of you that are listening live, for those of you that are not here live, you'll have to see if he's archiving his stuff so you can watch it on demand later. So that'll be fun. So check that out. Tiger Claw in chat says, I sent Bobby and Rob a gift in Pokemon Go and you guys haven't opened them in months. Okay, I'm sorry. I have been really bad at that. I did play a shit ton of Pokemon Go when I was on the cruise. But Tiger Claw, you are in this weird exception thing. And here's why. Because I had all these gifts from Florida, the Bahamas, and those areas. I wanted to send them to all my friends who don't get gifts from those areas. And unfortunately, Tiger Claw, you're one of two friends on my list, the other one being X-Link, I kind of ignored because I was like, well, they're already in Florida. So these Florida gifts are not going to be a big – yes, it might be a different part of Florida, but since you're in Florida already, I didn't think it would be a big deal. But I will try to get back on that and send you some California gifts, which might be a little bit of a bigger deal. But the reality is I just haven't been super focused on Pokemon Go lately. I've been playing like a little bit of Ingress, but even with Ingress, I'm kind of like, well, actually, no, I take that back. You know what? I played some Ingress, ironically enough, earlier today. I went down to one of the cemeteries near here, and I did because Blue Team had a portal they were throwing dumb fields from I didn't like. So I wanted to go take that one back, and I was like, as long as I'm going to be there, I'm going to just microfield the cemetery, get my AP. And I got to say, amongst all this virus and self-isolation, all this talk, I can't think of a place that's more peaceful. And some of you might think it's creepy, and well, sorry. But I can't think of a place right now that was more peaceful and relaxing, and the weather was very cooperative and nice than walking around that cemetery right earlier. I know some people might think that's a little morbid, but you know, I didn't find it that way. I was really enjoying just kind of playing Ingress very easily at the cemetery. You know, on a quick Ingress detour real quick, something they added in Ingress just like 3 days ago is portal scanning. So now you take like a short little video of a portal where you're kind of walking around it best you can. You try to get like 360s if you can, but some portals are hard to do. So I might like do like a 180 or something. And it actually takes, I guess, AR imagery of that and puts it on the server. But they're not saying why. They're just saying we're collecting AR data from portals and they're rewarding Ingress players with a badge for doing it. So if you play a lot of Pokemon Go and you play a lot of Harry Potter, but you don't really have your finger on the pulse of what's happening in Ingress, just know this. Niantic is collecting more advanced AR data from a variety of Pokestops in the same location database right now. Why? We don't know. But the assumption is they're going to do something with Pokemon. And like maybe I would think like maybe if they actually scan these different areas, then the game is going to know like if a Pokemon wants to interact with the area and actually like climb things and walk around it, they're going to have the data to be able to do that. So that could be I'm just hypothesizing. That could be a thing that could be happening pretty soon. We'll see. So anyway, sorry, that wasn't very rapid, but I thought that was an interesting thing worth bringing up. And besides, after release dates, we get to emails, and I'll just spoil it now. We don't have any emails tonight, so I'll spend a little extra time talking about Pokemon and all that stuff. But we will talk a little bit about world release dates. So let's travel around the world and see what do we have to look forward to this week to save us from boredom?
I don't know. A few games here and there.
Only two games that have constantly had fanfic with crossover about each other for months.
Those games being, of course, MLB Show the 20 on PlayStation 4 and Doom 64, as previously mentioned, on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. But if you're not interested in either one of those, then we also have Doom Eternal coming out, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and Stadia. And then, of course, Animal Crossing New Horizons out on Nintendo Switch this week.
I'm sure many people are really excited about Animal Crossing. I know I am. So if you felt tonight was too much talk about COVID-related stuff, just wait for next week. It's going to be the Animal Crossing show. Loki, you're getting Animal Crossing, right?
Of course.
It's like the one game your wife loves, isn't it? So
she doesn't. She's like, I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to play that. Give it time.
give it time. I feel like somebody amongst the three of us,
like, it's the same game every time. I'm like, give it time. You're gonna play it, and you're gonna play it hard.
Somebody amongst the three of us needs to at least peek at Doom Eternal. All right. Anyway.
Well, it's so nice of Jamie to volunteer for that job.
Oh yeah. You know what happens when you don't show up to a meeting? You get assigned all the work. So Dark Sakura, the Doom Eternal review is on you. So good luck with that. I'm teasing, of course. All right. Traveling over to Japan and checking out the releases in Japan this week. On the Nintendo Switch, of course, Animal Crossing New Horizons is also out in Japan this week. That should be no surprise there. All sorts of accessories and things like that to go with it. So if you're looking for Animal Crossing branded crap for your Switch, you can get that. The actual Nintendo Switch with Animal Crossing branding is also released in Japan this week. That came out here in the U.S. for some reason this past week. I don't know why, but it did. Because I know Shane got one of those and went out and got it early. So there is that. So that's cool. You can check that out in Japan this week. That is pretty much dominating the conversation when it comes to Japan. There is one other release, Ayu Densetsu Sen no Kisuke 3, that is also out on the Switch this week. Trying to see what kind of game that is. It looks like kind of like a fighting-ish game. Explore the newly annexed lands of the Empire with a brand new squad. Experience an epic story developed across three titles and crafted for new and old fans. Challenge oncoming threats with a combat system that has been refined over the course of decades. So I guess these games have been out for some time. Going over to the PlayStation 4, because they have some games coming out as well. Subnautica is getting a Japanese release. So that's been out here for years.
Yes.
Interesting. So Japan's getting an actual tangible release of that. So that is coming out this week. Also coming out this week in Japan, MLB The Show 20 is also getting its Japanese release this week. So those are the big releases in Japan. How about Europe? Dark Sakura is not here, but perhaps you can fill in.
Well, Europe is pretty similar to what we've got over here. So we've got, Remnant coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We've got TT Isle of Man Ride on the Edge 2. That's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Then, of course, the Nintendo Switch Animal Crossing system and Animal Crossing the game itself on the Switch, and Doom Eternal coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, and that's it.
So Doom Eternal not releasing in Japan. I noticed that was not on the list of Japanese releases. So the reality
maybe not
is,
this week.
Y'all, it's an Animal Crossing world, and y'all just living in it this week. No, it'll be fun. I'm excited for it. All right. Moving on. Let's get into some more news. And later in the show, we will be taking your Discord calls. If anybody wants to give us a call on Discord, we'll be available in the green room over at vognetwork.com/Discord. Or if you have any questions for us in chat, we will don't say them now because I'll miss them. They'll scroll off the screen. But a little later in the show, we'll open it up to any random questions you might have in chat. Again, there were no emails tonight, but you can feel free to send us an email for a future week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. I'm laughing at what Akuma JP said in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I know I will never buy Animal Crossing. I am wise enough not to get drugs. All right. Moving on. Let's get into some more stories. This is a pretty big one that may have been under the radar this week, right?
Yeah. So, you know, GameStop's been going through quite a bit of changes recently, trying to find its identity and trying to figure out how to survive in this ever more increasingly digital gaming world. So with that, it also comes change to some of their corporate boards and stuff. For example, Reggie Fils-Aimé has now joined the GameStop Corporation board as one of its members to help guide that company and, you know, hopefully that with his guidance, they'll be able to figure out what to do. Because I know locally, we've got a couple locations that are closing. One right by my house. So I'm hitting them up for all the discount stuff. I got discount shirt from there. So I've got that.
Show the Twitch people the shirt you got there. For those that are watching.
A brand new Pikachu shirt.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to see in the camera.
It's kind of hard to see on the camera.
But whatever. It's a... it says Pikachu, I believe, in Japanese, in number 25, because, you know, 25th Pokemon.
That's his dex number, yeah.
But they had, because they were doing like a buy one, get one free sale on their shirts already, and then they had discounts as well. So I got two shirts for like $8. So I can't pass up on cheap shirts, so I'm probably going to go back. And as part of that, because, you know, it's kind of hard to miss the giant wall banner of Animal Crossing New Leaf. I'm like, you guys, what are you going to do with that? When
are you saying we might get some more decorations?
I'm saying we might get some more decorations.
Yay,
I'm trying.
Right.
I
mean, I'm sad to hear that.
It is sad. They're going to be closing at the end of the month.
That was like
they said.
As much crap as I give GameStop sometimes, that was one of the locations I really didn't mind. They all had great workers there, and it was a huge location.
It's a decent sized location, and the workers are nice. And speaking of how nice they are, like I was speaking to them, like, we gotta, you know, I was like, yeah, it'd be cool if I could, you know, get that when you guys are closing, because like we've got. You know, we do this podcast for like almost 18 years now, and we would love some new wall art or something, you know. And then he's like, hey, come here, let me show you the back room real quick. So he shows me the back room, and just all over the walls is just giant posters of like all these things.
Cool.
Like Tron Evolution. He's like, come back here right about when we're gonna close, and he's like, I'll hook you up.
That's very nice of them to do. Darsakar in chat says, I feel bad for the employees getting fucked over. Hopefully, fingers and toes crossed, those folks are getting redistributed throughout the...
He was saying, the one guy that was there is saying that he doesn't know where he's going to go yet, and he's not sure if they're going to be able to relocate him to another store.
Well,
but
now all this COVID
shit. Because I think he's a manager, so he's like, I'm not sure where I'm going to be able, if they're going to be able to relocate me, but like everyone else might be able to, but I don't know.
Well, fingers and toes crossed, especially since those guys have been so cool to you and so forth.
So we'll see. You know, I'm gonna make a few more stops there, get more t-shirts, and I'm hoping they're pretty picked through already, but they're discounting stuff every Thursday until they finally close. I'm hoping that maybe they have some more Joy-Cons, because like ours suck ass, and I forgot to send mine in originally when I requested the ARS label. And
well, back to the Reggie fees and thing. So what do you think this is going to mean for GameStop? Because some people are saying, yay, Reggie's going to save GameStop. And I'm kind of like, well, he's not running it. He's
so,
not CEO.
No, and it's not just him that was added to the board, too. Yeah. So he's not the only one. They've had a kind of a refresh of leadership there. So they also added Bill Simon and J.K. I cannot pronounce the dude's last name. I guess Bill Simon, he has experience in retail and food industries, and he was the president and CEO of Walmart in the early 2010s. And then the other dude, J.K. Simon, I can't pronounce his fucking last name. Too many goddamn syllables or consonants in there. He is the current president and CEO of PetSmart.
Oh, interesting.
So...
Well, and let's not forget, Reggie had retail experience as well. Before he was at Nintendo, he was at Panda Express.
So,
you know, and those...
I mean,
that
they
Panda's
need,
everywhere
they need
now.
To change what they're doing. And I know, like, we saw... Like, I've seen some stuff that Gamertag Radio has been, like, posting up about, like, they got tours of, like, some of these, like, concept stores. So they have, like, a GameStop retro store.
Oh, I've heard of the one that's like a esports.
Yeah, they have like an esports place. Like they have one of those, like an esports lounge type store, and then they also have like a retro focused store as well. Like with it. Funny enough, it reminds me of and I'm not sure how successful or even if they're around. I know they're still around a few stores, but it reminds me of a startup company that was trying to take over or trying to take on GameStop called Play and Trade. That did a lot of these, you know, like try before you buy type things. So they had kiosks where you could try all the games out and stuff like that. But now it seems like they're going that route almost. And because people are buying like online a lot of times, they need a place to try some of these games. I don't understand how the esports lounge thing is going to work out. I know like even one of the local Walmarts tries that.
This is a bad time.
Like, I just don't understand. I mean, I get it. Esports is popular, but I just don't see myself like saying I need to go down to GameStop to go play esports games. Like, I don't know. Good luck.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on. Let's talk about Phantasy Star Online 2, another great game to look forward to. It's not being released per se, but the open beta starts this week.
Oh, cool.
So, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, I think that's on PC as well as Xbox. So that'll be really cool. I can't wait to check that out. But if you want to support Phantasy Star Online 2, of course they're going to sell things to you, like cosmetics and things like that. In fact, Sega is going to be adding a $59.99, Mr. Smush is really excited about this, a $59.99 Founders Pack to the North American version of the game. It's called a Phantasy Star Online 2 Sonic Collaboration Edition. Now, even though Phantasy Star Online 2 is going to be free to play, there will be, you know, stuff that they're going to sell. So this $59 pack is going to have Sonic the Hedgehog themed things, a Sonic and Tails emote for a user, a Knuckles themed weapon camo. So here's everything you get. One Beauty Salon free pass, one Mission Pass gold ticket, one premium set, which is a 30-day subscription, five character storage expansions, that's 50 items, five inventory expansion, 10 items, five Raggle memories, I don't know what that is, 10 tri-boost, 12 AC scratch tickets, 99 grade enhancement aids, and 500 grinders. So, and that's not to be confused with a popular phone app. Grinders are what level up your weapons and things like that to like plus one, plus two, and so forth. So, yeah, and they have a whole little thing showing that off. $60 is kind of asking a lot, but I mean, I'm willing to drop $60 on Phantasy Star Online because I'll be playing it.
I don't know if I'd do that during the open beta, but I don't know. I'd drop it maybe if it was finished.
Now, Dark Soccer in chat says, I only see X-Bone over at pso2.com/play. I think it is supposed to the open beta. Again, open beta isn't for a few more days, so they may not put out that client till Monday or Tuesday. But I believe open beta is supposed to be PC, so keep your eye out on that. So, but when the game releases in full, it will definitely be for both Windows and Xbox. Sorry, Jamie, I know you're a Mac fan, but since Microsoft helped bring this out here, I wouldn't expect a Mac native version. They're going to make you use Windows for it for that. So, all right. Well, let's move on. A few more stories. Loki.
All right. So, as we've talked a lot about the whole COVID-19 stuff, there is still a lot of different events that are kind of up in the air right now. So one of those being, you know, a lot of these different fighting games tournaments that have been kind of postponed. So, for example, the SNK World Championship for Samurai Showdown and King of Fighters looks like 14. That's been postponed indefinitely. And then there was also a Tekken 7 exhibition that was scaled down as well. Final Combat looks like has been canceled. And then, of course, I guess Street Fighter V Capcom has been pulled, I guess, several of the stops for the Capcom Pro Tour. So that kind of sucks, but I mean, understandable.
Well, and I kind of brought that up earlier, how, like, you know, tournament, video game tournaments, if there's more than 50 people,
right, yeah,
have them for 8 weeks.
Especially, like, with, like, even in California, like, right now there's a state of emergency. So, like, today they said, you know, all clubs and bars are closed, you know. And then, of course, they were saying, you know, any gatherings larger than 50, you know. So eventually restaurants, you know, could follow as well. I mean, who knows? Lots of these different gatherings. And so I know at our work, it's any non-essential meetings, no travel, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah, same thing.
Do everything via
at
WebEx, yeah, which is made for some very entertaining meetings because people don't know how to use fucking WebEx. But good times.
Well, hopefully, you know, this in a couple months, you know, we've squashed COVID to more reasonable levels where we don't have to, have the, same type of, restrictions that we have now. We can get back to having these types of tournaments and people will really miss them. Kind of like one of those absence makes the heart grow fonder type of things. I just hope the economic damage hasn't been done so bad that people don't want to go. We'll see. Moving on to a little bit of a lighter story here at the end, because, you know, we love our music game news, right?
Sure.
So I actually have a Dance Dance Revolution story here.
Awesome.
At the end of the game, at the end of the show. And it has to do with
I forgot to mention. Sorry. I played DDR this week. I haven't played DDR in a long time because, I don't know, lazy. But I did play DDR this
sounds
week.
Sounds like you do know, actually.
Yes.
But so you play some DDR.
I played DDR,
Loki's
yes.
Loki's Arcade. How was that?
It was fun. I am very much out of shape now. All of the shape that I got into, it's gone.
But did you play DDR with Dua Lipa? And I hope I said her name right. Did you play DDR with her?
I have no idea who that person is.
I know she has some songs because they've come up on Spotify. And the one song of hers I know is the "Buzz Baby, Dana, Dana, Shut Up, Because Baby, I Don't Give a Fuck." Like, that's her. She has that song about not giving a fuck. Which, you know, hashtag mood, right? And she has some Satisfaction, I think, is another one of her songs that she's did. So, God, I'm showing my age here a little bit, aren't I? Somebody in chat, help me out. Make me look cool. But anyway, Dua Lipa is actually going on tour in Europe. And the album is Future Nostalgia that she's going to be promoting. And you can buy a VIP package called Dua's House Party. And, you know, you get early access to the venue, merchandise. And you can enter a competition for a chance with a live dance-off with Dua on Dance Dance Revolution. So apparently she's a fan. Again, I am so sorry if I'm mispronouncing the name, but I've only heard the songs pop up on Spotify here and there. I've never heard her name said. So, I mean, who knows if this shit's going to happen anymore in the current state of the world. But I imagine if they're talking about selling concert tickets, that this is probably something that's actually more in the fall. It's probably not happening, like, next week. Yeah. VIP packages for Madrid and Barcelona already sold out, but Amsterdam's still an option if you want to spend about 310 euros for it. So,
I mean, if I knew who that was, I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't. She has her song "New Rules" is in DDR.
I guess A20. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay. So okay, because I was like, well, that's like a random thing, but okay. So in A20, she actually has a song in it. That's pretty cool. They need to hurry up and get that round one open here. Although, I guess that won't be happening for a couple months now, will it? All right. Anyway, let's move on and invite you guys to keep your social distance from us and participate with us virtually via Discord. Or if you have a question for us in our chat room, we will take it there too over at VogNetwork.com/ over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. We've only been gone 3 weeks. Why am I saying the old name of the site we haven't been on for? Well, I mean, technically, you could still go to vognetwork.com. There's lots of great stuff there. But I keep wanting to go live.vognetwork.com, which I think Bobby has actually built so that if you do go there, you kind of get forwarded to the Twitch.
It's
not like I'm giving you bad advice, but it's actually not the right place you're supposed to be. Anyway. All right. So if you want to join us, you can join our green room and we'll get to some of those calls. But do we have any last-minute stories or other things that we haven't talked about yet, Loki?
No, I thought this was kind of interesting, but apparently it says, without any actual NBA or English Premier League, what's going to happen is they're doing, like, kind of some simulcast games in NBA 2K20 instead, and they're going to broadcast it on Twitch. So it's like, you know, instead of these teams actually playing, it's just, okay, we'll have the AI play.
Huh,
or
interesting.
They're going to play. I don't know.
Dr. C in our VOG chat says, manager. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, in the Premier League, of course, that's with football managers. So,
yeah. Dr. C in our Twitch chat says, how about a comment? We noticed La Mulana Hidden Treasures was absent from release dates. Oops. The wife has our copy pre-ordered. It should be in this week. So I know Dr. C is a big fan of La Mulana, so I hope to see some YouTubes or some... you know, some exciting clips from the game.
Well, that's because I don't necessarily... That's probably a digital release game.
Yeah, digital releases don't always show up. Well, I thought they were doing a physical release for that. It must be very limited or something.
Well...
Yeah, because Star to Sue says the wife has our copy pre-ordered. It should be in this week. So they must have some type of, like, limited physical release.
Let's take a look at a fuller release here. La Mulana. Here we go. La Mulana 1 and 2... on Tuesday, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch. You have lots of games coming out.
There you go.
Golf Extreme on PC.
All right, we do have a call waiting to get in, so let's get to it. Hi, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, it's good to hear from you. Sorry, you're really low on our end here, so let me just make sure we can hear you in studio. What's on your mind tonight?
Not much. I apologize for the lowness. I just got a new mixer, so I'm kind of breaking it in, quote-unquote.
No, your levels are fine. It's just our TV right. Volume is up and down, but no worries. What's on your mind tonight?
I want to go back to the beginning when you talked about these cancellations of events. I'm really not as angry as I was, but I'm more annoyed at people at a whole, because I don't know if you've noticed, but since a lot of cases have been popping out over COVID-19, that's what I'm calling it because that's the proper name. There have been various comic cons and anime cons and gaming conventions that's being canceled. And I'm just following it, and I'm like, okay, all right. For us to anime jam session, the kickoff of our convention season is Zenkai Con in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We're following it. And Friday, they made the announcement because of Lancaster basically shutting down. The convention will be canceled till next year. And I get it. I understand being upset about this. I had a really nice formal cosplay I was going to wear with my lady. I had something special to give her. But you know what? I have alternate plans for that. But what got to me is the selfishness of people who are demanding that they continue with the convention anyway. They still want to do this. They're like, I have spent so much money on my cosplays. I've spent so much money on my hotel room. You better have the convention. And I'm just sitting here like, do you not understand the health risks that are at stake here? Do you not understand this? Do you not see what's going on here? I got into a pissing contest with somebody whose health immunosystem is bad. She basically said she wanted the convention to happen, and she didn't care she caught it, and she didn't care she died, as long as she was able to go to the convention. And I'm just like, between politics and other things, this COVID-19 is really bringing out the worst in a lot of people, and they need to calm the F down.
Yeah, it's you know, I would hope that she didn't really mean those things, and we don't know what she might be dealing with. I mean, like you said, if she has a weakened immune system or what have you, she's probably dealing with a lot of other things that are kind of going on behind the scenes. So, you know, just trying to like put myself in her shoes a little bit, she's probably trying to deal with the weight of the situation. And it's probably like I think this all kind of goes back to the point that like people's mental health are not going to be in a great place because of this whole thing. And it's okay to check in on people and mm-hmm. see how they're doing and, you know, check in on your friends, make sure they're doing well, because there's going to be a lot of people that are really challenged with things going through this that they might not like usually deal with. So I'm not excusing her behavior. I'm just trying to like say like, this is probably why it's happening. But at the end of the day, she probably doesn't really mean it, you know, not excusing it or saying, oh, that makes it okay or what have you. Obviously it's a very ridiculous look, because mm-hmm. I know a, convention getting canceled is an inconvenience, especially when you have all that flight and stuff. But do you know what's really inconvenient is, grandma dying because you gave her a lung disease. That's fucking inconvenient. So like, and I don't mean, I'm sorry to be so crass or blunt, and I'm sorry if what I just said like is triggering in any way, but that's the reality, I think, of these situations and why people are saying, you know, take it seriously when we talk about social distancing and so forth. Like, you know, like we said earlier in the show, like if you want to go to a restaurant and have a burger and hang with a couple people that you know are all washing their hands, taking care of themselves, that's one thing. But I know y'all saw those Twitter videos of people at St. Patrick's Day at the bar packed in there waiting to get inside because the bar is too full inside. Like, hello, that's a problem right now. Like, you don't, mm-hmm. you know, Loki and I sitting here doing this is one thing. St. Patrick's Day, or as I sometimes call it, heterosexual pride day, is a whole nother issue right now in the state of the world. So unfortunately, because people couldn't police themselves, this is why now the government is coming in and saying, you know what, we just need to close the bars because people are going to be, you know, crass about it and not able to take care of themselves.
Now they're
going
to take all the alcohol out of the stores because, you know, they've already bottled the toilet paper and pasta.
You know, it's Flea in chat says, I know I've really had to limit my Twitter use because it's giving me a lot of anxiety. Between us, like, same. Like, I can't look at all that shit on Twitter. Like, it's just too much doom and gloom, too much you're wrong, I'm right, too much you're not reading this. And, like, you know, in my opinion, when are they going to shut Facebook down for 8 weeks? So that the misinformation shit. You know what I saw on mm-hmm. Facebook today? Mm-hmm. You notice on Facebook that if you gargle with salt water, it will kill the virus that lives in your neck or your throat for 4 days. I tried to post an article about, you know, the Snopes, like fact checking, like, no, that isn't true. And the CDC says it's not true. And somebody replied trying to insinuate that I was wrong.
Rob, here's one for you. This is through a friend of mine who's been following this. She told me when she was explaining this, somebody said, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a cough. As somebody who lived with someone with a weak immune system, I probably would have gone through the intertubes and choked this person, okay?
It's unfortunately very selfish a way, but unfortunately, and this is a very difficult thing to say, some people are only going to learn the hard way.
You know what? And I've been saying that. And to go back to what you're saying, you're probably right. We don't know what this girl is going through. But after 10 of us are explaining to her her views and what it means and educate, she's still going on. So I was just like, you know what? I can't take this anymore. I would say she's like an exception to what's going on. But there are a lot of people who are upset that these events aren't happening. Heck, there is a group of cosplayers that are trying to have a get-together in Lancaster for this weekend. They're calling it Speakeasy Con. And I'm sitting here watching this event. I'm just like, at first, me and Mako, we were going to actually go out to Lancaster and chill and do the touristy thing. If this is actually happening, we staying at home. That's it. Uh-uh. Nope.
You know what? For what it's worth, some of my best nights on the cruise, we skipped the dance party and just found like a little corner in a bar and just hung out, like a small group of us, and had a really great time. Sometimes it's not about where you're at, but it's about who you're with, you know? And again, you gotta take your precautions in this day and age with your small group hangouts, but you know.
I might go as far as, because I do have some staffers in Philly, I might reach out and be like, if you're not doing anything, let's hang out and day trip. Five of us hanging out, cool. I'm perfectly okay with that. Yeah.
One other thing I'll leave. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go on.
I was going to say one other thing I would really encourage, you know, people to do out of this, you know, time, and, you know, people like Flea and other people who are dealing with the anxiety of like social media and just everybody talking about the sky is falling and all that stuff. And to some extent, yes, the sky is falling, but it doesn't like have to, you don't just have to sit there and watch it fall and let it worry you and so forth. And my point is you can kind of channel some of that energy into different types of creative projects. Like if you have ever thought like now's the time I want to get into streaming, or I want to make a YouTube channel, or I want to start a podcast, or you know what, I was going to write this novel in NaNoWriMo in November. I was going to write my novel in November. Well, guess what? Everything else got pushed back. NaNoWriMo got pushed up because with everybody else, you know, on quarantine right now, now is the time to write that novel if that's something that you've always wanted to do. Like,
and you know, so, yeah.
Try to take this crap situation and maybe do something you've always wanted to
do. Are you saying I should finish my game? Because that's not going to happen right now.
Well, Loki, I don't have to say it.
It's because I still have to work. Unfortunately, I have to work remotely if, you know, everything goes down. And unfortunately, even though, like, we're not supposed to go outside and do things, I'll have to go outside and do things because other folks are not going to go outside and do things. Yeah.
Loki, I envy you because for the last couple of days, we've been hearing, take your laptops home. Oh, there's absolutely no need. My work laptop is sitting in my bag and I'm waiting for that email saying you're working from home, because where I work, as some of you know where I do work, there are certain floors that look like abandoned ghost towns. I feel like different floor I walk in, I'm gonna hear some ominous music playing and somebody's gonna come up behind me and I'm gonna have to hit them with a box or something, okay?
Well, hopefully enough people, you know, to balance out the people like the other person you brought up that just is not taking this seriously, which is really unfortunate. Hopefully there will be enough people that do take it seriously where we can, you know, as they're talking about flattening the curve. And although it's something that's going to make it kind of last a little longer, it'll impact less people and it'll keep, you know, ERs hopefully not so bad and so forth. So I really, yeah. And, you know, it's difficult with all the talk about the economy, but that is where we're going to need the government to step in and help out, you know? And I'm not going to make it a political thing. Y'all can read between the lines. Y'all have your own feeling on that. I'm just saying the government needs to figure out how to reassure people financially it's going to be okay. And for all this talk about red team and blue team and so forth, like, I don't give a fuck. You people are fucking paid to figure it out. So you get there and you fucking figure it out. Like, the thing that makes me most angry right now is that one of our branches of government is on fucking vacation. Like, it's time to come back. You get in a horse and a fucking carriage and get back if you have to.
Agreed. I mean, during my gaming date tonight, we had a bit of a downtime. Not overheard you say something about how the government is screwing a pooch on this. I stood up and I just started clapping. I'm like, Brother Rob is preaching right now, because if that's not the God's honest, I don't know what is.
And if they cannot do their jobs, then you know what happens to people that don't do their jobs? They are fired. So if a certain somebody can't do his fucking job, then, to borrow a popular catchphrase, you're fired.
I second that motion. Let it carry.
Yeah, but it's more rules for thee, not for me. So, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So, sorry. We got a little soapboxy, but, you know, people have feelings.
Bro, it's not soapboxing when you're up there preaching and it's the truth. Everybody in the chat room right now agrees with everyone what we're talking about right here. There's nobody saying, actually. No, if you say that, sit down, open your ears, and listen.
All right. Yeah, Loki?
So I was going to mention, you know, since we were talking about La Mulana and stuff and other games we may have mentioned, forgot to mention that may have been digital releases, one was brought to my attention on the list because of the name, and I said, what the hell is this? I need to take a look at this. And it is a game called Pooplers. Pooplers is a multiplayer game where where up to four players take control over babies. Toddlers do not belong to the calm ones. As soon as nobody's watching them, they crawl around the house. Pooping, a humorous game, however, has a number of elements that diversify the gameplay. Basically, it's like Splatoon, except you're a baby that crawls around the house pooping. And you're trying to spread your poop color all over the house as much as you can without getting caught by the adults. Coming out on Steam this week. Go pick it up.
And on that note,
Switch.
Maybe COVID should kill us all.
On that note, gentlemen, I'm going to hang up, listen to the rest of the show, and play some Hyrule Warriors. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, sir. That's going to do it for Discord calls tonight. I have some other last-minute stories. Dark Sakura was like, ooh, talk about this. Ooh, talk about this. So I do have a couple things to talk about. Did you hear about this one? Is that there was a Japanese school that was going to be having a graduation ceremony, but it got canceled because of all the quarantine going on. So now they're going to have it in Minecraft.
That's cool.
So they're having a virtual graduation ceremony in Minecraft. And I bet you start to see more virtual spaces get used for maybe not like graduations, but, you know, obviously like Zoom and WebEx and stuff is being used for meetings. But I wouldn't doubt that some conventions are going to end up taking place in Final Fantasy 14 or in, you know, like virtual type of spaces, you know, VR chat or things like that. That's going to be very interesting. So. Anyway, I lost all the other stories. Shoot. Oh, yes. Here's the other one that she sent along. I'm actually really glad Dark Soccer brought this up because, yes, this came up on our Discord server as well. NVIDIA was put out a tweet that was asking gaming PC owners to put their systems to work in fighting COVID-19. And this is all through an organization called Folding at Home, which is tied to Stanford. So you guys may or may not remember Folding at Home was a thing on the PlayStation 3 for a long time. It went away, as a lot of like Sony stuff did, because, you know, most of the PlayStation 3 stuff. But Folding at Home is still there. So essentially it's distributed computing, and really oversimplifying the science of it, it's basically you're helping to fold proteins and run experiments and things like that. About different, you know, viruses and sicknesses. So historically, it's been for things like Alzheimer's and things where you don't have a cure yet. But now they've prioritized this COVID stuff. So if you want to look into this, you can go to foldingathome.org, I think it is. And obviously you can't use the at sign in a URL, so you spell it out. And you can actually check out the application for yourself. I downloaded it, and I've been trying to run it. I will caution you with this, though, and I've been seeing some feedback on Discord and all this stuff, is that since it is using your idle processes, and it's using your idle processes on your CPU and your GPU, it may cause your system to run hot pretty continuously. It may cause your fan to spin up a lot as well. So it may not be a program for you. You may need to go in there into the advanced settings and tweak it a little bit so it you tell it not to use as much power, and maybe it will get the job done as fast, but it'll still get the job done. You got to find what works for you, but it may not be for every setup, and that's, you know, and that's okay. It's not going to be for every setup, but I wanted to put that out. If you think that's interesting, that's something you want to help with. Again, it's way oversimplifying it to say you're going to help find a cure for COVID, but you're going to help with some of the research that gets there eventually. You know, so I think it's a really cool little thing, and it's one of those things, you know, especially with all the gaming PCs people have and stuff, you know, it's a way we can help, you know, we're going to put stuff to good use. But again, it may not be for your computer specifically. I know I've been having a lot of like my computer's crashing and it's doing all this weird shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's I wish they would put out the PlayStation app again. That's what I would really love to see, you know, on the PS4. Or something.
Yeah, it would be cool. My PC is crashing anytime I hook it to external monitors sometimes. And I've tried several things to fix it. And then today, while I was sitting here, and I don't know if it was because I had my pizza box sitting here, but mm-hmm. I saw a blue screen as well, and I'm wondering if it's still related to the graphics driver. I need to probably just reinstall Windows. I just don't want to. So...
And Flea says, do be aware, it's going to increase your electric bill. Even if you're on modest settings, it can increase your electric bill like $50. So, you know, be aware of that stuff. But, you know, maybe some people will be willing to pay that to kind of know that they're helping in some sort of way. So I just want to put it – I'm not saying you have to do this or you need to do this. But I just want to put that out there as this is a way you might be able to help if you think it's something you can help with. So just throwing it out there. That's all. So. But thank you, Jamie, for sending that along. I think she left chat, so she didn't hear me bring it up, but hopefully, oh no, she just texted me. Is this, oh, sorry. I had to leave abruptly. That's okay. Well, I talked about your stories, Jamie. All right. That was a good one. Anything else you want to bring up, Loki?
No, that's it. That's all I have.
Well, I think then we're about to the end of the show where we're here to wrap things up. So, I want to thank you guys for coming back to OLR tonight. I know we've been gone for a few weeks, so I'm really thankful you guys came back with us, whether it was here live on a Sunday night or whether it was, during the podcast feed. I know it's been a heavy week in the real world. I'm sorry a lot of that, came to the show, but you know, as you heard in the opening minutes there, we didn't have a choice. This type of stuff might, be on our doorstep right now. So, you know, we're taking precautions, washing our hands, using sanitizer, making sure we don't cough on people, just trying to stay away from big gatherings for a little bit, and together we'll get through this. Now's a better time than ever to play something like Death Stranding, which that game seems so remarkably timed here in retrospect. I don't think Jamie and I really talked about that enough at the beginning of the show, but the themes in that game are so, like, you know, it's, I mean, obviously there's supernatural elements and things to it that don't really work, but, you know, some of it is... really, I would love to hear Kojima talk about that game now in light of what's going on everywhere.
I forgot.
So, oh, what was that?
Hopefully it's still on. Like, I got a notification the other day because I have Earth Defense Force Iron Rain in my wish list that it was on sale, and I think I missed the sale.
Oh, thank you. Bobby Blackwolf is reminding me. We even talked about this before the show, but I forgot. But he talked about it on his show. But did you hear the thing about Horizon Zero Dawn is going to be coming to PC? And certain PlayStation fanboys are losing their fucking mind.
Why are they?
I don't understand. Because it's Sony's done for because an exclusive.
Oh, so whatever. What about all those other games that came to the Unreal Store?
That game was out like 4 years ago.
Or Epic Store, yeah.
Let more people play games. It's not that big a deal.
Ooh, I did not miss it. Yes.
Besides, a lot of things in this day and age are timed exclusives, and that's
add to cart.
A big thing. So, yes, Horizon Zero Dawn is not going to kill the PlayStation 5, because you know what? There will be a Horizon Zero Dawn 2. That game was big enough. And think of it this way, you guys. The Sony folks that are thinking like that and sending those weird tweets and stuff, think of it this way. If you get more people exposed to your franchise via a PC release, then when Sony inevitably announces Horizon Zero Dawn Part 2, or whatever it's called, for the PlayStation 5, that's more people that are going to be like, oh, yeah, I was playing that recently on PC. Ooh, maybe I should get a PlayStation versus an Xbox because I really like that game and I want to play the sequel. So it might actually be a good thing. So calm down. It's going to be fine. So anyway.
Well, I made that mistake, or I fixed that mistake.
How so?
I purchased Earth Defense Force Iron Rain.
Oh, there you go. Good. All right. Final thoughts. Thank you guys again for listening to our show and joining us and being with us tonight. I know it's been a crazy week, but I meant what I said. You know, support your artists. Be there for your friends. If you are in a financially comfortable place right now, even amongst all this, just, you know, emotionally try to be there for your friends right now. Do what you can. We'll keep trying to do this show best we can. I'll try to do streaming and stuff. My work stuff is really crazy. I don't want to get into a lot. All I will say is that I was on a project at work involving working at home because it was something that more employees were going to be doing anyway over the summer. And as you can imagine, certain things need to be done a little faster right now. So that's all I'm going to say about that. If you know, are able to be there emotionally and financially for friends and so forth, do so. I'll try to do more streams if I have the time. So we can just hang out together in a virtual space where we are a safe social distance apart. Be responsible, make good choices. Any other last minute thoughts from you, Loki?
No, I just have to play more Orna, and we have to get those people that join the kingdom to join the Telegram.
Oh, yeah, the Telegram, so we can talk to each other. Yes. So, great. Hey, I'm glad more people are signing up. Sounds good. All right, that is it. We're done. Oh, and Bobby, I'll say this here. Bobby says, if anyone needs advice on how to work from home, hit me up on Discord. I've been working at home since 2006. VogNetwork.com/Discord. I will see you guys there during the week. We will be back in 7 days to do this all again. That's the promise I'm making now. We'll do our best. So we'll see you in 7 days. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.